Yeah, good evening, everybody. Hey, can we quiet down that bird over there, Mr. Gerard?
No, he's singing the national anthem tonight.
Well, put your little fingers on those little holes and he'll go right to sleep.
He's the headliner. Okay.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, July 13, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, call the number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. All that information is on our website, left side, top left side, weekly call. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send questions, plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. And by the way, I know I got two or three questions in. I could only find one of them. I got to go digging back through my email. But I do have one question that someone had sent in. And if it isn't yours and you had sent something in, just send it in again. Sorry. But I'll try maybe while the program's going on to look that up. So, anyway, please support our business partners. You can see their banners on our right-hand side of our website, which the proceeds goes to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, now let's take a look into the mind of God. Tonight's scripture reading is Proverbs chapter 10. We'll pick up where we left off last week from verse 14. We'll read to the end of the chapter. This chapter is entitled The Wise and the Foolish Contrasted. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod of correction is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendereth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as a choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for want of wisdom. The blessings of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectations of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, for the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. And that was Proverbs chapter 10. We read verses 13 through 32. Okay, tonight's topic is going to be mandamus to governors. We wrote a mandamus to all governors concerning Jade Helm. We've been working towards a campaign to start calling up governors. And then we thought, well, let's send them a mandamus. And we send a mandamus out on Friday. They received it today. And then we figured, well, Tuesday we're going to start a calling campaign to all the governors. We're going to start particularly out west and out southwest and even down into Florida. All of the states that they have marked for Jade Helm, we're going to call those governors first. And we're just going to reiterate what we sent in the papers. We're going to read that paper in a minute. It's about 3 pages. By the way, you can go up to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on Media, scroll down. You'll see the papers under the line in the sand. And it's paper number 8, I believe. Yes, paper number 8, Mandamus to Governors. Now, and by the way, look at, we have worked diligently to organize the nation, to get to a point where we have people in every state, reestablish the common law grand jury in every county and every state of the union, organize ourselves so that we can start communicating with our elected individuals with authority and power, and walk and go into the courts. We did open a court case. We do have an index number. It is on every single one of our papers. And we've been met with total silence, which is exactly what we expected. And it's a good place to be with them being silent, because silence means they haven't got a clue in what to do. Of course, they've sent the FBI out after us many, many times, and they've always left walking away, with the exception about Utah, and we dealt with the Utah problem. We did get Steve out of jail with a habeas corpus. We did agree on a presentment, which is an indictment upon the judges, all the judges involved and all the lawyers involved in that situation. They broke so many laws, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, those papers are being written, and they have not been completed yet, unfortunately. And maybe this is, the overall real plan that we don't control. You know, we do the best we can to get things out. And, you know, we get held back here or there, something comes up or whatever. But in the design of all things, we'll always be on time because it's God's timing. It's not our timing. We may think now is the time, but God's ideas might be totally different. So tomorrow might be the time instead of today. So time is in his hand, and we will do the best we can to respond, considering all of the work that we have to do. The purpose of all these papers was ultimately to educate, to sort of prime the pump, to prepare people. They didn't take it serious in the beginning, but they're taking it very serious now. We've got plenty of information to really see that they are taking it serious. But just the fact that they're silent, sheriffs, marshals, FBI agents, they got a copy of this. And they're going to get more information, too, because we're going to focus in on them and talk to them about the things that they have been doing that is unconstitutional and denies the people's unalienable rights, and they will be held accountable for it from this point forward. And, of course, if anybody makes a complaint at any time in the future, no matter when these people assaulted these individuals, we're going to go after them because, common law requires for every injury there must be a remedy. So we will seek that remedy for that individual who has been injured by the FBI or the marshals or even the sheriffs or any police department, anybody of any kind of empowerment, any law enforcement agency. If they're out there, breaking down people's doors and harassing people and beating them up and denying their rights, we're going to get them. So I hope they're listening in. We do know that we got a lot of spies coming into our meetings and have joined the NLA. And that's a good thing. We welcome them because, look at, if they're real Americans and they got any kind of decency in them, they'll understand what they're being asked to do, to spy on the American people. And when they come into our meetings or read any of our papers and they see that we're all about true patriotism, we're about our founding fathers, we're about God, we're about justice in the court, we are about putting in jail tyrants. That's what we're about. And the people that are sending you guys out are the tyrants. And we do intend on putting those people in jail eventually. As a matter of fact, you're going to put them in jail because we're going to bring the papers to you to enforce them. So anyway, we do know we have these people, and like I say, it's good. We'll convert them. At some point, they may not even want to come spy on us because we'll keep converting their people, at least as long as they're decent individuals. Okay, let's see where we're at. Okay, we're going to read this mandamus to governors. This paper was, as I mentioned, was mailed out Friday. We're going to start responding in phone calls on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. At least that's our plan, but we will start the calls. And we'll start, as I mentioned, with the most western and southern states where the problem is coming. We want everyone and anyone that finds or hears of anything of Jade Helm going on in any state. We're not talking about troop movements. We're not talking about, movements of equipment, okay? That can't be stopped very. It's like a train trying to come to a stop and put on its brake. It's going to take miles to stop. Or a ship at sea. It's going to go across almost to the horizon. A large ship will continue for miles before it's able to actually come to a total stop. And so is any large convoy like this running around America. So, we're not really looking for that. That kind of movement's going to continue because, again, it's going to take a while to stop. But if there's any actual action going on, any kind of motions with the armed services, anybody in uniform going door to door, blocking off streets with tanks and other armored equipment, we want to know about it, and we want to know about it right away. Because we will be talking to the governors. We've sent the mandamus, which we're going to read. We're going to be talking to the governors over the next week or so. And we will get back to these governors, and we're going to talk with the lieutenant governors. If we're not met good with by the governors, and they want to take that chance of being indicted, well, we're going to ensure them that we've decided to indict them. But we're going to go to the lieutenant governor and make sure that he's on board, so that when the indictment goes through for the other governor, someone who will obey the law will be in position. Otherwise, we'll indict them both at the same time if necessary, and we'll get rid of both of them. But we have to, at all costs, stop Jade Helm. I think we all agree about that, and we will do it. We will start putting out information for phone calls to governors that we deem to be a problem, that refuse. We'll also give them a way to connect back with us. As a matter of fact, we'll have them connect back with us in writing by fax. Should they deny us at first and then after a while change their mind, they can send us a fax and tell us that, with a signature on it, that they're not going to go forward and they're going to stop Jade Helm in their state. But this is the campaign that we have to be moving on right now. But we also are working on other papers in the United States Supreme Court. And by the way, the papers that went out to the governors, 50 of them, were mailed by U.S. mail. We're also going to be starting a fax campaign starting again this week. We haven't got all the equipment in yet, but as soon as it's in and connected, we're going to start on that. We're going to do the same thing with the United States Supreme Court. We're going to go after all 9 judges. We're going to mention them by name. And we're going to talk to them about jurisdiction, about courts, about the Constitution. And then we're going to do the same thing that we've done to all the others that we've written papers to. And we're going to order them to tell them what they need to do to fix the problem. And if necessary, I think we're at that point that we need to be as bold as to even consider writing a presentment against U.S. Supreme Court justices. I know Scalia and a few others are really upset with some, especially Roberts, with the move that he made concerning the last case that went through that. Let me see what that was called. I believe that case was named King versus Burwell, Burwell. I know we're in the process of reading it, I am, and others, and that's one of the things we're going to be dealing with when we talk to the judges. We may deal with that second, but there's first we want to deal with. They want to talk with them about jurisdictions and fiction and the problems and command them to do the right thing. It is their duty to guarantee a Republican form of government to every state, and fiction surely is a destruction of a Republican form of government in every state. Okay, let's see. All right, so let's get reading the paper here. And then we'll take it from there. Again, you can get a copy of this at nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on media. Scroll down. You'll see the line in the sand, court filings, federal court filings, line in the sand. And it's the eighth paper, the last paper served. It's on governor. Oh, yeah, what I wanted to say was that the first seven papers were to educate them, to prime the pumps, to prepare them, okay? I've gotten some comments from a few people that it's way too long or it's this or that. Well, you know, it is too long, but we're not looking for everyone to read it. We're just looking for a few good servants. That's all we're looking for. That's all we need is just a few good servants, a few good sheriffs, a few good marshals, FBI, U.S. Congress, senators, etc., judges. Just need a few good servants. You see, because when they look at it as from an intellectual perspective and from really seeing the truth about what's going on, it's up to them to turn the rest, and they will. Sheriffs will talk to sheriffs. They'll start their own movement. This is their job. We'll do the best we can to do it, but really it's going to end up being them convincing their buddies. And so that's why these papers were written. That's why it took the time to write it. It also, we needed to wait. It took us 2 years to get to this point. And a lot of people pushed us to pull the chain a lot earlier. But we rejected them all and said, no, we're going to stay with the principal thing. We're not going to follow that which is expedient, you know, that which we want to do or whatever. We're going to wait until we get to a point where we have enough people across the nation to do it. And we surely do have enough people across the nation to do it. And so we've done it. So now we've educated them. And it's up to them to educate each other now at this point and to pull the other people on board to realize that we have a problem in America and we're about to lose America. America, the America that they grew up in, the America that they were children in, America that their children is in. You know, whatever happens to us is going to happen to them too, and it's going to happen to their children. You know, one of the first things they do as soon as they lock down, and they're secured, in other words, lock down our nation, as soon as they close that iron fist and lock us down, and they feel confident that we'll totally lock down, that's when they collect all of their useful idiots and take them out back and put lead in their head, and that's it. So all those people that are useful idiots, they're going to be some of the first to drop, because that's how Nazism and communism works. They have to get rid of the useful idiots. Okay, let's get to the mandamus now. All of our papers from this point are short, not long. Again, the earlier papers were long for education, getting a framework, getting everything up there, and we will always refer back to those seven papers in these papers as we speak to these people. And we're also going to send letters out. I'm not sure how many Congress and senators there are anymore. I always knew there was 430 congressmen and 100 senators. I know we lost one or two here in New York. And I don't know where they went, who picked up the extra one. But all of a sudden, I see 435. We were looking at some of the territories. They got congressmen. What the heck does territories have to do with congressmen? Not that they don't deserve it, because I tell you what, they should be states. They should not be territories. They're not owned by the federal government. They should be free and independent people. And so something we need to look deeper into to understand better what's going on in these territories and what is the right thing, what is the just thing to do, because obviously people live there. And they like freedom just like we do. And they do deserve a congressman. They do, but they also have to become state before we give them a congressman. They have to become a state before we can give them a senator. Now, I know there's only 100 senators, so I don't know how that works out in the District of Columbia, or these different areas that I understand have congressmen. I don't know how that works, so we're going to look into that and try to figure that out, what it is that they think that they're doing. But whatever it is, it's evil. We know that. So anyway, we have 435 congressmen, we have 100 senators, and we are going to be sending papers to them. It'll be hard copy mail directly to them. It shouldn't be any, for them, it may be four pages, possibly five. I don't think we'll ever go over five. I'd like to stay down around three or four, keep it short. Again, we can always refer back to the framework that we've already established and filed. And we can refer them to our website for a copy if they don't have it. Okay. Mandamus, and it begins off page one, Coram Nobis, which before ourselves, the king's court, the king's bench. And we wrote in every single governor by name, and we set it up with our index number, which we chose for them. We filed this in all 94 federal courts. We have not sent this out to be filed yet because we have another paper or two going out, and this way it will save us in the mailing by putting them all into one envelope. So we'll file two or three of them at the same time later this week. We'll have another paper or two written by next Monday, and we'll look at them too. But it is being filed in all 94 federal courts, and once our fax system's up, like I said, this week, we will be faxing to every single elected official in America, on the state and federal level, that is, and they will get copies of everything we're doing. And so everybody will be kept in the loop and understand, and we're going to go forward. Okay, so it's commanding all of the governors, and we list them all by name. We called them respondents, and we called we the people, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the sureties of the peace, and starts off with mandamus. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, excuse me, the sureties of the peace, also known as the tribunal, on behalf of we the people of the United States of America, in this court of record, commands all governors to uphold their oaths guaranteeing a republican form of government, and shall forthwith act to protect each of them against invasion via martial law and gun confiscation. As previously informed on June 6, 2015, by writ mandamus, addressed to all federal, state elected, and appointed servants, copies to be acquired at nationallibertyalliance.org/ RICO, informing that Washington, D.C. is an act of sedition operates in an act of sedition operates as a plenary oligarchy with its own peculiar international laws under international maritime and admiralty jurisdiction in violation of our United States Constitution, Article 6 and Article 4, Section 4. Our hypothesis is based on solid information. These oligarchs are a worldwide criminal organization that control America's monetary, legislative, judicial, administrative, media, and educated systems through the Bar Association by implementing existing legislation designed to statutorily control bureaucrats and close an iron fist by exploiting useful idiots, a method used not much different than the implementation of the Third Reich. Operation Jade Helm is a Trojan horse, a plan to imprison America through martial law to be activated upon a trumped-up national emergency. There is no constitutional authority of training a standing army, especially one made up primarily of foreign troops on American soil. Congress has no constitutional authority to legislate such authority, and certainly the administration has no constitutional authority to act upon. Such actions are repugnant to our Constitution. Jade Helm is a threat to liberty and an act of war against the American people. The President of the United States has no constitutional authority to deploy American and or foreign troops on American soil. Any such action is subversion. U.S. Congress has no constitutional authority to approve, plan, or provide for the deployment of American and or foreign troops on American soil. Our founding fathers warned that the militia must never be replaced by a standing army. Today, our nation has the world's most powerful military. 57 government agencies carry guns. Most have their own SWAT teams, and local police are trained in paramilitary operations. America has become militarized, and this tribunal, through the writs and presentments, sets its face against such tyranny. all governors be informed that all laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Marbury versus Madison. The U.S. Constitution, Section 8, provides that Congress shall have power to provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, for the governing such parts of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia, not armed forces, according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. The Bill of Rights, Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, that's the people, being necessary to the security of a free state. That key word is necessary, being necessary. If we want to be free, we want to protect ourselves against the terrorists, it's the people. That's the necessary force that must be used, the people. Being necessary, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Wherefore, all governors are commanded to act by preventing Jade Helm from operating on their soil. We, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, in an extraordinary and necessary act in order to secure liberty, have predetermined that any governor that fails to act by presenting Jade Helm on their soil, guilty of aiding and abetting the enemy, an act of high treason, and an indictment issued forthwith. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has initiated a campaign to contact all governors by phone for a verbal confirmation concerning their obedience to the law of the land. As an elected official, you have a duty to speak, and to reject our call will be considered contempt of court. Therefore, prepare for the reception of our call. Silence can only be equated with fraud, where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. U.S. versus Tweed. Ordered under seal, dated July 10th, 2015, signed by Grand Jury Foreman. Okay, that was three pages, and again, all of our papers from this point forth are going to be short. When we refer, we can always refer back to the first seven pages for in-depth information, further communications or information on a particular subject matter as we're speaking to them. But we want to get to the point and really lay it out very clear, decisive, and short. Okay, let's see where we go here from now. Before we get started, can we find, someone find Paul out there? I think I put down Paul-Silva when I wrote his name down there. Gary, Gerard, anybody? I'm looking myself for Paul. Someone let me know that they're looking for Paul out there. I want to unmute him for a minute. I'm going to give him a minute on the mic in a short.
I'm looking.
Okay. Yeah, I think I put him. Paul. It could be Paul from Long Island. I might have put Paul Silver because he's the guy that sells our silver for us, sells silver to us. Okay. While we're waiting for that,
here he is. I'll unmute him.
Okay.
He's clear now.
Okay. How you doing, Paul? Can you hear us?
You there?
Yep. We can hear you. Okay. Hang on 1 minute. I'll get you in a minute. Okay. Let me just make a few other announcements, and then I'm going to let you speak. Okay. We need more people to fill numerous leadership roles. Please call Jan or Robert. Find their contact information on our directory. And, again, we have a lot of work going on. We are an active group. We probably are the most active liberty group out there. Percentage-wise, no doubt, hands down, we are the most active. But I want to get more active. We're going to get more active. And we need the people to get active. And again, we're not asking for every day. We're not asking for 8 hours. We're not asking for 40 hours. We're asking for an hour here and an hour there, doing some work, working with committees. We've got lots of committees, and we've got a lot of new committees coming up. This site is really going to start seeing, we're going to talk a little bit, Gary will talk, I think, a little bit on some of the things we're doing with the site. A lot of things are going to look quite different, especially on the drop-down boxes and being able to navigate around the site. Things will be a lot more cleaner, and we got a lot of great ideas. And I don't want to, because I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing first, so I'll wait for Gary. So Gary will come in and tell us. He's working with the technicians, and maybe he's got some insight on timing on some of this stuff. But anyway, let's see what else. Right now we're doing okay money-wise, but look at, we always do, we're upgrading, we're moving, we're doing things, so please, anybody who has not been helping out by supporting us, by donating $5 a month or more, okay, please start doing that, because that's what keeps us going. That's what pays the bills. We have lots of bills. We got a lot of mailing going on. You know, we decided not to use the 3-cent stamp for these mailings right now to our servants, the ones that go direct. So we're going 49 cents every time. So, you know, we send it out to, you know, 535, you know, congressmen and senators, you know, that's $250 or something. So just that's just for the stamps, okay? We still have the paper. We have to get the toner. We have to get the envelopes and all the labor putting it together and getting it out. And then, of course, we're going for the faxing. A faxing system, we paid up all of the hardware. We paid for the phone lines. Everything has been paid for the first month for everything. We have a computer coming in. It's going to be working 24/7, if necessary, on just faxing things out and keeping it going. We got 8 lines coming in, and that's going to cost us a month, you know, $450, $460 a month. Maybe 300. I forget exactly. About $350 or $450 a month for the lines. But it gives us unlimited faxing. You know, we bought the hardware, we bought the software, and we bought a computer just to run it, and then we just pay the lines going out. So again, you know, it's more of a cost. Also, broadband goes up. Whenever broadband goes up, or we have to pay more money to get more broadband, and that's going to escalate. It's not going to go down. It's just going to cost us more. So we're going to grow more. More people are going to come on. More broadband is going to be used, and it's going to cost us more. And the only way we could pay these bills is by people giving a donation of $5 a month or more. It will not break you. Trust me. $5 a month is less than the tax. Less than the tax you pay on in the morning. If you get coffee and a donut and a roll and butter every morning or something like that every morning, just the tax, it's less than the tax for a week, okay? For a month, I mean. So easily everyone should be able to afford $5 a month or more. Okay, let me see what else we have before we let Paul speak. Okay, I guess that's it for right now. Paul, you got the mic. Paul is supporting us, and he is selling silver, gold and silver. You'll find him on the right side of our website, Rare Coins. You can call him up and talk to him, and he's going to give us the best prices that he can give us. And let me give it away to Paul. He wants to make an announcement concerning things that are going on. Paul, go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. As we saw in the last couple of weeks, we see how fragile the financial markets are, how one country can cause 5 or 6 to topple, and what a dramatic effect that could have here on our financial markets. We also recently saw when China was starting to slide like 1929 in this country, ironically, the New York Stock Exchange, which is where all the Chinese stocks are traded, got a computer glitch and shut down the trading on the New York Stock Exchange. These markets are severely manipulated like they have never been before, especially gold and silver, because gold and silver prices are the enemy of fiat currency. And there's been quite a bit of manipulation. I've been trying to make clear to individuals that the reason to purchase silver and gold are not price speculation at this point. It's just safety. It's safety. The same way you would buy insurance on your house or your car. It's safety. John spoke about the iron fist. Well, the financial markets and the collapse of them is a tremendous way to tighten that grip. And it would behoove them, and I happen to personally believe, this is just my opinion, that that's part of their agenda as well, because that's a fantastic reason to declare martial law, take over another aspect of our lives, how much money we can spend, how much money we can make, how much money we can have, you know, all right out of the Marxism textbook. They're already doing it in so many other areas of our life. I mean, I can't even walk in a room anymore and turn the light on and see, because they decide how light my light bulbs are going to be. I got to turn three of them on instead of one now. I got to flush the toilet bowl three times instead of once, because they decide how much water I could use. I think it's coming, and I think this is the last frontier of private wealth, private security. I do want to point out that the grab for pre-1965 coinage especially has been unbelievable all across the country. I have a large company aside from dealing with NLA members. It's a broad-based demand for it by the people, I'll say in the know, people who think like us. It's a fear and safety move. The premium on this coinage, because remember, it can't be made anymore, has gone as high as $5 or $6 over its melt value. Just to give you an idea how much that's moved up, I used to sell it at $2.60 over melt value. And obviously, I'm paying a lot more for it now. But this is nothing compared to what I've seen happen. This is still price levels that are 66% lower than after 2008 collapse. So I just want to encourage everybody to get something for safety, whether it be silver or gold. Silver is the common man's money. Silver is what people will use to survive. I love gold. Gold is what you'll cross borders and ask for boat rides with. These are going to be the important things. Just like all your private property ownership, they're going to be looking to take everything away that they can. And I believe all of our property rights eventually. So I just wanted to add that the markets are really, really moving. The prices you see for silver and gold, remember, are commodities prices. It's being traded on paper. They can be highly manipulated to keep them down. You could never buy one of these contracts that are traded and get physical delivery. The physical delivery aspect of these metals and the paper trading price are two different worlds at this point, further apart than they've ever been. The price of silver is at approximately $15.50. But it'll cost you $19 to put your hands on an ounce of silver physically and own it, have it in your hands. The United States Mint has run out of silver. So the silver dollars, the silver eagles that are very popular, are all back ordered until the end of August. Pre-1965 silver coinage is back ordered with most companies in the country for 4 or 5 weeks. Or if they have it, it's a very high price. I do want to add that as an NLA member, and this was the reason for John and me hooking up, besides my beliefs in this cause, which just gets stronger by the week, I just can't believe what's going on, I can undercut these prices for NLA members substantially. And free shipping on silver can be worth some money. There's some members who can attest to that. So I want to encourage everybody to buy something rather than nothing. We'll keep getting you this old silver coinage as long as I can get it. As I said, I remember when every dollar's worth of silver coinage, whether it be quarters, half dollars, or dimes, was selling for $42 to the dollar. This was in 2010. So right now it's about $15 to the dollar. So you're still on the low end because the general public hasn't panicked. But it's, you know, people like us are starting to realize we better do something. Okay? I just wanted to give you an update on what was going on in the marketplace. And thank you for the time.
Okay.
Hey, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yes. Yes.
Can you put in for a monster box of silver bullets for me?
Of silver eagles?
No, silver bullets.
You got to put jackets on there.
I need some silver bullets, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, I don't think a monster. I think there's so many vampires out there right now. I don't think 500 rounds is going to matter.
That's just for my house. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Okay.
My pleasure.
You too. Thank you. Okay. Let's see what we're going.
Oh, and I did want to add one more thing, John.
Yeah.
I just wanted to remind everybody that I'm very diligent about any business that goes through the NLA website. A donation is made as part of the proceeds to NLA. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So anybody who wants to get silver, and everybody should be thinking about silver. Look, the reason why we bring Paul on or even the people that we work with for the food, long-term food, is, as a matter of fact, I should give a call to that guy and ask him if he wants to come on and talk a little more about things. But the reason we do that particularly is because it's important for people to have food and money and water. These are three things you need. You know, you can get a good filter that you can, what do they call it? What's the name of that good filtering bag that they have out there, Gerard? Do you remember?
I don't know. I know Berkey.
You've been Merksy or something, or I forget the name of it. All right,
Berkey?
Well, anyway.
Berkey.
Is Merkey, is that it? Okay.
No, Berkey, B-E-R-K-Y.
Berkey. That's what I said, isn't it?
Huh? You said, why would you name a water filter Merkey?
Well, I was testing you.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to get rid of the Merkey, that's why.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, you know, that's something everybody should have, you know, and you can get water anywhere if you have one of those filters. And also, you need food. You're not going to survive without food. And you're going to need money, okay? Maybe not in the beginning. But at some point, you're going to run out of food, and people will be trading things, and silver will definitely be trading. So, and gold also. So any precious metal. I mean, for that matter, even bullets would be trading. So toilet paper would be trading. You know, these are all things that you should really get a lot of. And again, by doing this through us, okay, getting your silver and your food, which I think we have good prices and we have good products, by doing it through us, we get a little bit from them, and that, of course, supports us and keeps the National Liberty Line going. And one other thing, we have silver lungs. I did get a letter from someone that said, oh, it's too much money, it's a lot of money, I can get it a lot cheaper, and different things. But look, maybe they can, but I haven't found anything out there. We sell what's called silver lungs. I don't know anything out there that has what they have. They have a magnetic spinner that spins on the bottom of the thing. It mixes. It's a magnetic mixer. They've got all the equipment necessary and the bottling for the silver water. They have the silver electrodes and everything. Anyway, it's a good system. Definitely, my opinion, best on the market. Well worth its money, and you can produce unlimited amounts. You could just keep producing it, and we suggest two or three people go in on one and produce a lot of silver. You know, if we get into real hard times and you get wounds, the best thing to do is to treat it with colloidal silver, and colloidal silver helps the wound to heal. It cleans the wound, prevents infection. You would put compresses on the wound with using the colloidal silver water, and it promotes healing, and it also helps to prevent the scarring. I mean, you're going to have a scar, but it makes the healing better. So anyway, these are items I really do believe that you need. These are the only kind of items that we sell at National Liberty Alliance. We also have a survival seed vault, okay? I want to tell you something. We looked online for a long time to find seeds, and nowhere are you going to find seeds at the price that these people sell it for. Unbelievable amounts, really, really dirt cheap. And everybody should be buying seed, because next year, that's probably how you're going to be eaten. And if you don't have seed, you're going to be in trouble. So again, people need these things. They must have them. So prepare. You know, time is coming. And no matter what happens, even if we're able to stop this craziness, and we're still going to have a collapse, we're still going to go through some hard times, it's just going to be a softer landing. It's not going to be as hard. You're still going to need food. You're still going to need money. You still need to spring back. So everybody should be preparing for this. Okay, let's see where we're going from here. Gary, do you have anything you want to talk about? I know we talked a little bit about the site. Are you ready to talk about some of the upcoming changes or anything? Give us some insight of what's happening, what's going on. Gerard, do you want to kick Gary, wake him up there?
He's awake.
Probably muted.
He's awake.
Oh, he probably doesn't know. I muted him because he was doubling up on the song. Gary, you're muted on the board. Find yourself and unmute yourself. Anybody see Gary up there? Let's see if I can find him.
Did you do that to him?
He's up at the top.
All right, I'm a-looking. Yeah, he's muted. Okay, there you go. You're unmuted now.
Well, thank you.
Start all over.
Yeah, take
And by the way, before you talk, let me just say this to all of the board administrators here that come in and leave your mics open. We hear everything. You guys got to mute your mics from your end. If you're coming in on Skype, mute them there, or mute them right here on the board. But mute yourself. And, you know, we hear Gerard's bird tweeting away, and we hear Gary. I don't know what was going on in Gary's place. He was sending back the music because it was so loud on his. At least you enjoyed the music. You must have raised the volume. It was coming right back.
I was dancing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. Anyway, make sure you mute your mic. Go ahead.
I will. Well, the only thing I'd just like to add is that we are getting closer to being able to roll out a slew of new committees, guys. We're going to have committees that people have been asking for. Agenda 21. We're going to have chemtrails. We're going to have a new and improved health and wellness that's going to knock your socks off. And we're also going to have I just went blank on the one that I'm most... smart meters. Now, that should warm a lot of people's hearts. I don't know about the other states, but Michigan has been really hard hit with these smart meters. And now they're looking at putting smart meters on our gas meters, which means you're going to have multiple areas of infection. So we're going to have these committees going on, and we're going to start seeing if we can leverage some synergy. The one thing that we're having a hard time doing is actually securing the committees so that we don't have infiltrators to committees. We don't have infiltrators into our forums. Only the committee members are going to be able to post to the forums. We're going to have public forums, but those are going to be on the outside so that the committee information remains pure and unpolluted. And you're also going to have the ability to join the committees by clicking join. You're going to be able to be evaluated to be a member of a committee. If the committee is a closed committee, for example, IRT, the knowledge and training required to be on IRT is going to be daunting. Just civics course alone is a great start. But there will be tutoring available for people wanting to take that course to get to being on IRT. We've already had the first installment of letter writing. We're going to be looking for people to continue that as soon as we figure out how we're going to roll the course out. The acceptance for that course was overwhelming. We had 300-plus people on that first Tuesday night call. It was phenomenal. That's the only thing I would like to talk about with the committees right now, John.
Okay, thank you very much. Jan or Robert, if you have anything, now is the time to pipe in. Gerard, do you have anything?
I'm sitting here looking at a report on a California sheriff who's a constitutional sheriff, and apparently he has stripped the U.S. Forest Service's power of enforcement in his county. His name is Sheriff John DeAgostini. He's in El Dorado County, California. And he's just received numerous complaints, he says, about the way the Forest Service have been treating people in his county. So he has stripped them of all of their rights of arrest and so on and so forth.
Are we aware of anyone giving him a hard time or anything about what he's doing?
Doesn't say anything about it here. Seems
okay, that's what we want to keep an eye on. If anybody gives him a hard time, we're going to want to try to get there and support him.
Right.
Maybe people might want to call him up, and I don't know, is that kind of a thing we might, kind of a campaign to go on, people call up and thank him for his work, you know?
Pat on the back, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gerard, you got anything?
I think you should let all your congressmen know that we like this sheriff. We're going to be putting more of them in. And be expecting him to knock on your door one more time.
Good idea, George.
Yeah. that's it.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, but John, the one thing I didn't get a chance to talk to about the mandamus. Gerard and I were just talking today, and we've actually seen it in television movies. So you know that we're 10, 15 years behind in the technology that where they can control the drones remotely. So we don't want their equipment where they're having drone launching and refueling stations that may not be military personnel, but they're contractors. And we may want to be more specific. I don't know. I'll leave that up to you to decide. We can talk about it offline.
Okay.
Yeah, I did get some new developments on Jade Helm, but I don't want to talk about them tonight. I want to talk to you probably after the call because it's that important.
Okay.
All right.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. We do have one question. I thought we had two or three, but I haven't been able to find them. I will, in a break, I'll go take a look to see if I can't find them. And if not, if we don't get to them tonight, people who wrote them and asked them obviously will be aware of that and can send their questions back in. And I apologize for that. Okay, questions. Well, matter of fact, Gerard, maybe you could check your email. You should be getting a copy of questions. Anybody sending in questions?
I'm doing it as we speak.
Okay. Yeah, and questions, just make sure you put large on the top of the, you know, when you hit the send us an email, put questions on the top of the, on the subject matter. Just the all caps, question. And it'll be easier for us to pick it out. Okay, one question has come through that I do have, and it is, has there been any effort to address or defend against the IRS? Absolutely. It's called habeas corpus. And so anybody who is being pulled into the courts through the IRS and they want to get out of that court, give us a yell and we'll work with them to do a habeas corpus to remove them from that court and to bring them back into their own court and put an order out for a cease and desist. Okay, it's that simple. So that's the answer. That's a short answer. Also, look at IRS is the most evil organization out there, in my opinion. I'm not sure. I think they use. I'm not sure whether they use the Marshals or the FBI to do their dirty work when they break down your doors. Does anyone know, Gerard? Do you know? They use the Marshals, or maybe they use both. Maybe they come out with the Marshals and FBI.
Look at what's his name there. The guy that turned. He was an IRS agent.
Oh, that's right, IRS agent, yes.
That's right. They got their own guns, John.
Okay, well, we're going...
Now,
you know,
that doesn't mean they don't get with the FBI or the Marshals to do something. Sometimes they do a joint task force if they think you're, you know, a big offender. Sometimes these guys just haven't had a raid in so long, they're jonesing for it, so they come along.
Right. All right, well, anyway, those are the people we need to start putting the pressure on. We need to go after the people coming out to our houses with guns. We need to bring them before the grand jury, and they need to give answers, and they need to be tried for violating people's unalienable rights. There's numerous ones that they violate. You know, there's kidnapping, due process. I mean, we can go on, probably hit up on almost all of the rights in the Bill of Rights. But anyway... we need to really work on that. So yes, the answer is yes, habeas corpus. So if anybody is in the courtroom or being pulled into court, I mean, they have to be in the court, docket has to be up. If that's the case, we can do something. Okay, other than that, I've come to the end of what I have to share for the evening, so we'll open up to questions and answers. So let me change from the lecture mode. Now, let me say that last week we had some people left that were waited quite some time to ask their questions, and we didn't get to them. So I want everybody to wait 30 seconds to a minute. I'll let you know when, but do not go into the queue unless you were someone who was on the list last week and we didn't get to you, okay? And we're not talking about the second round around. We're talking about people who didn't get the question at all. Those are the only people. Also, anybody new that would like to get into the queue, those people should be able to get in first. So now will be the time. Once I hit the button for Q&A, you hit star 6 and get into the queue, and you'll get in line. Anyone that has been with us and has never asked a question and wants to ask a question, they too can hit star 6 and get into the queue once we turn on Q&A. So I'm going to turn on Q&A, star 6 for those people. Everyone else, give them about 30 seconds or so. I'll let you know when the time limit is up. Q&A is now started. Star 6 to get into the queue. Okay, Gerard, you want to pick it up?
Okay, let me just get back to my screen here. All right, New York Peter, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Pete from Dutchess County.
Hey, Pete. What's up?
Nice to
That's my county. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to make aware. I had heard a interview this week, Project Camelot, in case anybody would please go and look at this interview about Jade Helm, and it's being run by artificial intelligence is the newest thing that we have to be aware of. To take the decisions away from anyone that would have to be responsible for them, they are now letting computers make decisions for us. I just wanted to bring this topic up for discussion, and hopefully we can add it to our paperwork to really show how far they're going away from our Constitution and our rights.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, and I read that tonight also. And they this is actually like all the science fiction stories coming true. This is like Skynet. This is like, you know, the machine wars. And that's probably why they fired all those generals, because they don't need them. And not only that, this thing analyzes on a large, large scale. I mean, look, they've been collecting metadata. Well, what the heck good is metadata? It's an empty packet. But if you could attach it to something else, this machine makes decisions based on your previous data of what you're doing, and then it decides whether or not it should attack you. It does pre-crime. It's a lot worse than you think it is. And what happens is it takes the responsibility off the generals, because it makes decisions based on the whole picture, not just that single thing. It weighs the options, and it even does pre-crime. If it thinks that you're going to do something, it'll take you out. So it's pretty scary, and we really need to stop it. And I mean, I don't know what the answer is. The answer is to stop them from deploying it to begin with. And we have to discuss that. We really, really got to go hardcore on these governors, and everybody should be, we need to get out on this right away, because once they implement it, you know, we'll all be terrorists. The guy sitting up there in the black robes and the guy's making the laws and pulling the levers on Jade Helm, they'll be the patriots. And the guy's drinking the cognac up top, they'll be the leaders. You know, you'll have your George Soros and Rockefeller sitting there running this whole nasty scheme. You know, I'm just counting on God sending them a nice solar flare to knock out their GPS and stuff and bring them right down to our level with guns and knives. That's it. Anyway, thanks. You know, I mean, look, you can't be worried about it too much. As a matter of fact, in the one thing I listened to, the woman said you can't have a lot of fear or anger because that affects you the way you think. And she said, and that's what the system is predicated on. They're predicating on you being scared or angry because it's going to see you doing things different than you normally do. So anyway, that was pretty chilling.
One more comment that I just want to reiterate. If we even are thinking about artificial intelligence for the first time here, it's ancient. It's thousands of years old, which makes you think further back, and we're all God-fearing people.
That's right. And there's nothing new under the sun. You're right.
Who's creating the parameters for this programming? So what we need to absolutely do is pray.
That's right.
And obviously, the ultimate parameter maker would be God himself. There's only love and fear coming from the God source. And the fear base, I believe, is the artificial intelligence, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. So let's pray together that we steer everything in the correct direction with our consciousness. We don't have fear. We come back to a love base. And that we come together as a family like we should. And I God bless all of you, and thank you for being there and on guard today.
Well, thank you, Peter. We appreciate that. And look, if they're going to be able to read, they practically can read your thoughts by your actions. And so it really is a fight against powers and principalities, and definitely a state of prayer puts a wave out there that is a positive wave, and they're counting on these negative waves. Everything is frequency and vibration that they deal on. I've been doing homeopathy for years. That's frequency medicine, and we know it's valid. I know people foo-foo this stuff, but, this is quantum physics that's coming around. And believe me, they knew about it, like he said, thousands of years ago. They were lifting these big stones up and melding them together and melting them and making them fit. We know all that now. So be prepared, people, and really, really get into your meditative prayer state, because that's going to be a requirement. You know, we're going to have to be like ninja warriors walking around at peace so that the drones can't see us or something crazy like that. I know it sounds crazy, but guess what? The ones that are running this country that want to take over, they're absolutely crazy. Anyway, I got North Carolina. Barrett, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. This is not basically a question. It's a comment and learning experience. I went down to my sheriff, and I finally got a good response out of him. What I did is I asked him, how familiar he was with the Constitution. He said, quite familiar. I said, okay, in Article 1, Section 8, you show me where in Article 1, Section 8, that the federal government can legislate to the people. Well, he couldn't find it because it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Okay, I did the same thing with the state constitution. It doesn't exist. What's legislated applies to the units of government, not the people. So I asked him, what law does that leave us under? He couldn't answer the question.
It's a mind-boggling thing, isn't it? Common law.
Okay. Well, what?
The Constitution.
I'm in North Carolina. We have an advantage here that he wasn't aware of. Okay. We're under common law.
That's right.
Go to North Carolina General Statutes, Chapter 4, Common Law declared in force.
I think most of the states have something about common law in them, because the Constitution kind of guarantees us that, too. I mean, look, our Republican form of government is a common law government. The Bill of Rights is a common law document, and the Constitution, for that matter.
Okay, so I handed him the Communist Manifesto, the website link for American Revolutionary Communist Party, which is the one backing all these protests. And I gave him the 1950 congressional report that the National Lawyer Guild and Bar Association is front to the American Communist Party. I'm going to meet with him later this week, and I'm going to tie that National Lawyers Guild to that Communist Party.
Well,
that's what got me in the door, and that's what he wants to work with me and see what we can do for the common and get a common law grand jury going.
Well, I congratulate you for going to see him and having dialogue with him. More people need to do that. Look at people. If things look like they're getting bad with this Jade Helm thing, you want to be on a face-to-face basis with your sheriff. And the sheriff has to know he has the people behind him, because the only way that we're going to survive this is on a community basis. Communities have to stick together. And when these things roll out, you need sheriffs to tell the federal government, get out of here and get your drones out of here, you know. And as a matter of fact, you know, how do you fight with drones? I mean, this is technology. So it's easier for us to get together, you know, as a county and as a state to fight that stuff, because we have more resources, more people. At that point, we can fight fire with fire. But even just to uphold the Constitution and not have them pulling people out of their homes, you know, the sheriff is the one that you want to get to do that. And he's the guy that can make the posse. And so he is our last great hope. But, he needs the people. He needs the grand jury is and the sheriff, they're synergistic together. They need each other. It's a symbiotic relationship. So thank you for that. More people should do that. I appreciate that.
Well, I figured that was probably the best way to do it.
Yes. So, you know, like I said, more people should be talking to their sheriffs. And not only your sheriffs. Look, you go to your town halls, and, you know, a lot of what we talk about here, you know, you can talk, but talk without action is no good. So, you know, all this Agenda 21 and this sustainable development and all those other nice names they call it, that's all unconstitutional stuff. You know, that's another thing. If we could get the sheriffs educated on these programs that they're using to take our property rights away, we could kick them out. If your mayor or your town supervisor contracts for these people to come in and do a comprehensive plan and to do all this other stuff that they do to implement this crap, they just broke the law. They committed treason, because when they contract with these people, they're foreign entities. They're foreign organizations. And essentially what he's doing, he's making like a treaty. And only the president has that authority in America. So he just committed treason. And you should tell him under no uncertain terms that if he's going to be signing documents with these organizations, that the people are going to hold his feet to the fire, because they are domestic enemies, but they're foreign enemies, but they're in domestically here. They're on our soil. So they are foreign and domestic at the same time, and they all took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So if your town fathers are signing this crap, guess what? They are a foreign and domestic enemy as far as I'm concerned. So thanks a lot for that. Who is this? Barrett.
Wait, Gerard? Yes. Gerard, before you go any further, I'm getting a lot of feedback right now that people want to get this lettered and download it, and they're getting a 404 error, and they're wondering if they're being blocked. They're wondering if they're...
Yeah, I did see that.
We need to correct that.
That's probably a lot of broadband being hit at the same time.
Well, actually, John, I was getting that notification earlier today.
Okay.
People were complaining about it earlier today.
Maybe we had a lot of hits today. I mean, the site is moving. We should talk with Tex and see if they need to do something. They can look into the record and see what kind of hits we've been getting.
Good. I'd rather be something simple.
Yeah.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'm going to move to Gloria in Pennsylvania. Thanks, Barrett. Gloria in Pennsylvania, you've been unmuted.
I'm not
it jumped over.
Actually,
you got Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, let me fix that for you. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, something.
Let me fix that for you. Don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Don't do nothing.
Why does it do that? That's ridiculous.
Well, who hit the last one off? Did Gary hit that one or you?
No, I hit next question.
Okay, hold on.
No, John, I'm keeping my fingers out of that one.
Watching those fingers.
I hit next question and it jumped right over Gloria.
Okay.
You wound up with Dr. Johnson in California.
Yeah, hang on, doctors. We're going to
hang
try
on,
to fix this.
Okay, try Gloria now, and then from there, go hit your next and try Fred.
Well, should I hit next question, or should I unmute
No,
her?
No, just try. She's unmuted right now. Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, Dr. Johnson is still unmuted.
Okay, well, let's talk to Dr. Johnson then.
Good evening, guys. It's so good to hear your voices. I just want to give you a little bit of an update. I've got several people interested in going to your, from Hawaii, four states here on the West Coast, and we're having difficulty with the signing up and getting to become members and donators and get the programs that you're offering. I'm going to speak with Gary tomorrow. He gave me a number, so I'll call him in the morning. And also, we've filed a lot of papers, got a lot of paperwork going. It pedantically got it in place to send to you. And we had all kinds of difficulty trying to find out where to send it. So that needs to be streamlined a little bit. We finally took myself and a fellow named Byron Gassler 2 days to find out where to send the stuff we had prepared.
You're talking about sending it to us?
Yeah, I have a habeas corpus, a 2241, a number of things that we had prepared, and
the habeas corpus is what we would write. If anybody wants us to do a habeas corpus from the perspective of the grand jury, which would be the most powerful way to do it, okay, you would need to get a hold of someone from IRT, which is the Investigative and Research Committee, and make contact with them, and then you'd have to get them the affidavit.
It's all that stuff is done. I think it's in your hands by now. We sent all the stuff to you. We finally did find out where we got that Valhalla. Is that your address, John?
Well, that means that's not near me. It's down south.
Yeah.
It's near New York City. And there's someone else that gets all the paperwork there, and then they got to communicate what they have, and usually the important stuff we go to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't spoke with her for a while, so I'll try to make
just doesn't seem.
But this is what we need to do. There's a process, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking with all these people tomorrow. They're still in training, so they may be a little confused too. But here's how it works. Everything needs to be done ultimately by fax, okay? Fax or email. They're comfortable with email. You do email.
Yes.
So you scan and you do all your stuff. Just keep all your paper there. Basically, what they need is they need a copy of the docket. They need an affidavit, okay? And the affidavit has to be within our format. We don't get lost in anything that's going to uphold and pick up fiction, like, you know, we're the man of the land and, you know, with blood flowing through and we're sons of gods or any of those things. It's just we want to stay on point and stay focused. But anyway, the affidavit the docket. Okay. Now with the docket, often there are exhibits. If you can get the exhibits, fine. If not, you know, we can usually work without them. But we prefer getting the exhibits. Now you fax that or email that to wherever you're told by the person you made contact with. Once they get all that information, okay, they'll start working on it. Now, as long as the affidavit is not too long, because we usually don't want no more than 2 or 3 pages, even just one page, 1, 2, or 3 pages. It's nice to get more than one. We desire 3 if possible, but we can work with 1. And if you can get more, that's even better. But once we have the affidavits, and then we have the paperwork from the court, which is the docket that gives us all the players, all the names, all the addresses, everything, all the details of the case, now we can write the paper. That's all we need to write the paper. Now, once they approve the affidavit that it's in good format, and maybe there's a few things they may quiz you on and you may forget, oh, I got to get this and get that and whatever, then you mail the original to National Liberty Alliance, and you can get that on our donation page So you go to nationallibertyalliance.org, you click on donation, and on the bottom you'll see our address. So you send it to NLA, and then we will take that and file it in the file for future reference. So you might want to do two original affidavits if you want to keep one original for yourself, but we do need an original in the file. Whatever affidavits you have, we want the original for the file. And then we'll write all the paperwork up, and then there'll be some communications back and forth and on how we're going to serve the papers and so on and so forth. It should take maybe about less than a week from the point of us getting the paperwork done to actually get to the point where it's served. But we'll work all those details out. We also, just so everybody knows, this is something we're going to start now. As a matter of fact, I'll be talking with the team hopefully tomorrow, or at least this week, but I think tomorrow. We want to request anybody who wants anything like this done, request a donation of $20 if they have it. If they don't have $20, maybe they can give us $10. If they don't have $10, maybe they give us $5. If they don't have $5, they're giving us $1. If they don't have $1, they can give us a quarter. We'll take a nickel. Okay, the point is send something. Okay, and why are we asking them to send something? We're not charging anybody for anything. And if they can't even send a nickel, that's fine. You know, we'll do it anyway. We're not going to say no to anybody. But you know what? We got mailing to do when we get your paperwork. And we have, there's the papers and the toner. So to cover our expenses, if we get between $5 and $20 for each person who we do a paperwork for, it will help cover the cost at least. So that's what we're going to start asking for. And that we'll ask them to send when they send their affidavit. But again, if people send their affidavit and they don't send money, we're not going to not do it. We will do it anyway. So...
Well, are you here, John?
Yeah.
More than fair. And I'll talk with Gary tomorrow. We'll do a little bit of a conference with him, and we'll get all our ducks in a row so that we're doing what we need to do correctly and how we can teach others. All of the people I'm talking to have the capability and the ability and the desire to be a part of committees and to head. To spearhead some of the stuff that you need done out on the West Coast.
Right. Okay. So. Yeah, it sounds good. And I'm going to get more. Look, we're going to have to be more specific with, where people are to send their information to. I mean, Greg was running it, but Greg resigned. So we got another guy right now, I think, that picked it up.
Yeah.
Boxley. I'll talk with Don and make sure, we need to post, so it's up on the page somewhere. We need to post an email address. Well, we've got to be careful with an email address, but we need to post information on where to send the documents, okay? And again, it should be either by fax or email, and then we do all the originals by regular mail, snail mail. We work that out as we go.
Good. All right, God bless you guys.
Okay.
You're in our prayers and thoughts, and we'll talk to you soon again.
All right, thanks a lot, Fred.
God bless you. Good night.
You too. Yeah, Gerard, you got it back. You want to try to hit Gloria first and then see what happens?
Gloria, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Oh. One thing about the habeas corpus and IRS case, it's the body of the injury rescuing from IRS. Sounds like the rescuing the personam in a rim. There's a lien against a person, so rescuing the person from the rim. And it seems like we could apply to all the cases because all the cases are in rim. And they all come after the name, whether it's mortgage or credit card cases. Everything is on the person.
I think you're on the mark there. I think that's
a
good point.
I think she is too, yeah.
Definitely with the IRS, everything they're doing is in rem. And they look at, once we do the habeas corpus, we're definitely going to ask, where's their Form 56? Where's their Form 4490? They don't have fiduciary authority. They don't have proof of any kind of a claim. And they're not going to be able to answer that. Right there is going to prevent them from answering the paperwork. They will default. But there's a lot of other things. It's all about jurisdiction. The people are in the wrong court. They have no authority. Also, U.S. Title 26 is not law. It says so in itself. We're going to ask them about that. What do you guys think about that? They can't answer anything. they will default, and we will get the people out, and we'll send a cease and desist from the federal court to shut them down.
So I've been actually looking into and
hey, Robert, that's you coming through with all that noise there, Robert. Mute your mic. Okay, I'll mute him. Go ahead.
Basically, the RIM cases are only is a federal court jurisdiction because in maritime lien...
Well, no. Federal RIM cases are not under federal court jurisdiction, not under Article 3 courts. Article 3 courts. They run those in administrative courts outside of the federal system. What they do is they make themselves look like a federal court by renting the room. That's what they do. And they also rent the judge. The judge is not actually acting inside an Article 3 court. And even though he's in the building and he's a guy that wears a super cape in the building normally anyway and acts inside what's supposed to be Article 3 courts. But they're operating under... first of all, on one side, when he's operating normally, which appears to be under a federal court, he's operating under equity. And equity, not real equity, actually under chancery. And when he does the administrative work, which is outside, he still wears his little black robe there, but he also is sitting in an administrative court. So it's not in a federal court.
Okay, on the maritime jurisdiction in RIM cases, it says the federal court has exclusive jurisdiction.
We're not under maritime. We're on the land.
Yeah, but actually everything in the maritime. And there is actually called a maritime common law savings.
Yeah, it's all called fraud, and we don't give it any heed. We don't give it any authority. We don't give it any credibility. And
I will tell you the Title 28, Section 1333 actually gives a state court and federal court a common law supreme law of land jurisdiction on a savings of suitors clause.
All of that is unconstitutional. It's null and void. Look, they have no authority to run these courts as if they're real courts. Why do they have to make believe that they're federal courts? Why do they have to make believe that they're federal judges sitting in there making real decisions? Because they know they're a fraud. They're hiding. Look, what does darkness do? They hide. And that's what they're doing. They're hiding. They have no authority to come after the people in any way, shape, or form. They can't send their agencies out after people and take them out of their homes. They can't raid their houses. It's all unconstitutional. It violates everything that is just and everything that is holy. And they just can't do it. Now, if we continue to communicate with them and work with them and deal with them as if they have some credibility, as if they have some right to exist, then they're going to continue to exist. We're going to tell them, no, they're a fraud. They need to go to jail. Every one of those people need to go to jail. And we're going to take the Constitution and we're going to do it. As a matter of fact, I think the paper that we're writing to the United States Supreme Court is going to answer this particular problem. And we do have some of this information in some of our papers where we do deal with this problem. It's all a fraud.
Okay, so now the papers working on the IRS. Can you explain that to us a little bit more?
Say this again?
The habeas corpus for IRS case, why is that working? Can you tell us?
Oh, absolutely, because it'll come from a court of record, a federal court of record, and it'll be applied it'll then go down to have them to show cause, which is what a habeas corpus really is, to the court that is it's an administrative court. One is de jure, and of course the other one is de facto. So they're a de facto court. We'll label them as such under statutory process, under U.S. Title 26, ultimately is what they're operating under, and they have no authority over the person that they're trying to take authority over. They have no authority over this person, and they got to answer to an Article 3 court.
Body of injury. So basically, the habeas corpus is challenging the body of injury. So basically, it's going back to the common law.
Absolutely.
It's also going
to be decided on by the grand jury. We don't let the judge decide this. As a matter of fact, if they were to answer, That's the only time we give the judge the authority to answer on our behalf and to make sure he does the just thing, and then we do judicial oversight. We make that point in our paper. When we do the habeas corpus, we let him know we are going to oversee this judicial action, and he is to immediately, the moment he makes a decision, he's to immediately take that to his secretary or his clerk or whoever he wants to take it to and make sure he facts all the facts to us exactly and specifically on what he has done and what his decision was. And if his decision was wrong, we'll give him a writ of error, turn it over, and we'll make the right decision and we'll move along. And then we'll send out the default papers and we'll also send out a decision and memorandum and we'll tell him to cease and desist.
So basically, we have to develop the habeas corpus for the mortgage cases as well.
That's right.
We're going to look into that. I don't want to move too quickly on that because we have people who are in jail, and we want to deal with that. There is ways of dealing with the mortgage situation. It's really, it's all a jurisdictional thing. But let me think about this.
Okay, another thing.
You're right. I think we can accommodate that at some point. I don't know if people were to come to us for that now, they'd be put in the back of the line because we want to get people out of jail. Now, this is what brings us back to volunteers. We're asking for lots of volunteers. We're asking for people to be trained in this stuff. It's not big. It doesn't take a lot, but a little bit of training. And then you can help assist us to get these people out of trouble. And then maybe if we have enough people, we will then go forward and do mortgages.
I heard people are getting remedy under leaning the capitalized name, and living man becomes a secure party creditor. Basically,
yeah, we don't deal with that language. It's all fraud. They're criminals. They need to go to jail. That's what we deal with.
So people are getting remedy actually by leaning their own person and coming in and say, "Hey, I am the living man, and I am the creditor. And you show me where."
Right, but we don't participate with that language. And it's important that you realize that. I understand what you're saying. And, you know, the way people have been doing this and the way we've been taught to do this, I understand that. And at first I went along with that, but I came to the realization by talking with them like that, we are actually empowering them. And they're watching us twist and turn. They're probably laughing at us anyway. But we're empowering them because what we're saying is you can do what you're doing, and if we have the magic words to get out of it, we're going to get out of it. But I'll tell you what, the magic words are not going to get you out anyway. It's a rare case where the magic words get you out of it. And it's not the magic words that got you out of it. What it is something happened on the jurisdictional level, something that frightened these guys, and they let you go. And that's rare. But it does happen occasionally. But other than that, you will find all these other guys, they're not going to get the success.
In the UCC, actually, there is a common law.
And it doesn't matter. It's not the law of the land. We don't deal with it because talking with them as if they have some right to continue their fraud on our land, it gives them power and authority. No. They're criminals. They need to go to jail. We're going to deal with them right now to pull the people out of their clutches, okay? But later on, we're going to put them in jail. And some of these people we are going to indict. Look at these judges out in Utah. They're going to jail. We're indicted. We've already indicted them. They've been indicted. It's a matter of the paperwork catching up with them. It'll get there soon.
So basically, if you are enforcing the land jurisdiction, then I really think that we have to work on a getting out of the union and create our own republic.
No, we already got a republic. Our founding fathers set it forth. They have cloaked our republic. They have come in as parasites and have taken over our republic at every level of government. They have taken control of us. Okay.
What happened is
we put them in jail, we have them arrested, we take back our nation. Look, we have to do is one thing, only one thing we have to do, okay? And that is bring justice into the courts. That's what we have to do. If we can get the grand jury, the power of the grand jury, and standing on principles to bring justice back in the court, how do we bring justice back in the court? Well, we have to reestablish the king of the court. The king of the court must be reestablished, and we have to operate under the principles of the king of the court. The principles of the king of the court is that we operate and act under a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. That's what the king requires. And then we sit on the king's bench and exercise those principles. And if we exercise those principles, the king will bless us, and we will get justice in the court every single time. And it's that simple. When we bring justice into the court, justice will move through the entire political realm. There's no choice about it, because they're going to have to hide their evil under rocks, because we're there, and we're going to put them in jail.
See, what I read about the republic, a drawback of the republic is that you have to have a representative and you have no power.
No. We have certain representatives that we send to make laws and keep things in order and make sure things don't go wrong. But what we didn't do is we didn't set someone up there with a stick. And only the people can go up there with a stick, and only the people could make it happen and put these people back in their place.
Hey,
so
John,
we have to get in there with a big stick. Now, this is a okay call. We have to get in there with a big stick, and the stick is called justice.
So, in my opinion, if we don't really trade between the people with the gold and silver currency, and they are actually monetizing all this instrument, they actually are having the power to create the money, printing the money that people believe that...
Yeah, but that's against the Constitution. That's fraud and a crime.
Right, but meanwhile, they are continuing and creating artificial intelligence with all that funding. And we...
Well, yes, for right now, they're getting away with it, but they're going to have to pay the toll. Look, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of countries. They want their money back. Well, if they think they're going to come to America and get their money, they've got something. They got a lot to learn, because we're not going to give it to them. Look, we have been robbed just as well as they have been robbed. Let's find the robbers, and let's go find the people who own the Federal Reserve. And I'm not talking about the stockholders, because a lot of those people have no clue in what they're involved with.
Our
but the bottom line
money
is the people who are running this whole thing, we need to go after them, because they got all the money. They took all the gold. All the gold that they have, all the silver that they have, we can confiscate it, and we can pay back the debt to all of the nations. Now, I'm sure we could probably pay back most of it, if not all, considering the fact that they hold so much gold and silver. They also hold a lot of property. I mean, what I heard, for instance, that one big family, Rothschild, what they are worth is just, I don't even want to say it because it sounds so ridiculous. As a matter of fact, I talked to one person, a very intelligent person, one day, and we were talking about that, and I mentioned the number, and he just couldn't, he said, do you understand what you're saying? Do you realize that's like, he couldn't comprehend it. But now, I may be wrong, I don't think I am, but... This is huge money these people have. They have been robbing us for...
The problem is, the state money is gold, and we have to give them the gold. So equal to gold is a house and the cars. So we are giving them everything that is tangible, because our
right.
law is
they wouldn't
paying
get it all.
Gold.
No, they wouldn't get it all. They don't have to... Look, we've been robbed, too. Okay? But you have to figure out something. They didn't just steal our gold. They didn't just steal our silver. They stole their gold. And
I'm not talking about just the gold. But basically, what they are saying that the state has to pay in gold or silver, anything intangible. But they are not giving us any tangible, something tangible loan.
Right. Well, look, we have a huge problem we have to fix, and I think it'll fix itself, in my opinion. When we did the core want, though, that was part of the fixing, which we don't talk about. But in any event, we've got there's lots of property out there. There's lots of different things that can be turned into money, stocks and bonds and different things. That they may all just die, but nevertheless, there is property and there is gold and there is silver. And here's the bottom line. The Constitution requires that only gold and silver be legal tender. That's what the Constitution says. We have to obey it. The Congress has to face up, take back the process of dealing with money as far as coining silver and gold. They can't be making paper money. They shouldn't be making paper money. But gold and silver should be it. We got to get back to that. We got to require all banking to be in gold and silver. That's going to take a little time to go through the process. Now, Kennedy had a great plan for this. He put out the silver certificate. And maybe, you know, I don't think we have the ability or the time to put out a silver certificate because these people understand where we're at. They're either going to win or lose. They believe they're going to lose. They believe they're going to win, whereas I believe they're going to lose. But nevertheless, they're either going to win or lose. If they win, they're going to take it all. If they lose, they're going to try to take it all and run anyway, and they'll pull the chain and collapse the economy. I don't see any way for this nation to get outside from becoming not only a collapsed economy and a collapsed monetary system, but if we move over to silver and gold as quick as possible, just obey the law and do the right thing, we can rebound back pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, so basically it is a two-way street. One side has to pay in gold, then the other party has to give us a loan in gold. You know, we can't be a digital money out of thin air, and then they're giving that us that really doesn't have a value.
You're talking about people who are going to be in those days. When they get to those gays, they go to jail. Look at you. Anybody who's got a house, they already own the house. Okay, we already know that. Okay, they played that stupid game with their stupid money system, and they played that game where you're not taking out a loan, really. You know, you're just signing off a release paper in order for them to release the money to pay for the house. After all, you're part of chattel, you have a value, and you're cashing in on your value, which people shouldn't be doing, but they've done it. It is there. They have a home. They own it. That's it. They don't have a right to take it back. They're just getting paid 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times the amount of the house they're getting paid for. Okay, because that's their game. That's their fraud.
So I've been kind of looking into this financial system, and these corporations are actually funding this artificial intelligence. And in order to stop this, the people really have to trade each other with the gold and silver, or you know, some kind of exchange of energy or talent. Otherwise, we will be doomed.
Well, again, no. The answer and the solution is bringing justice back in the court. And I'm going to make it even clearer. The answer and the solution is bringing God, the King, back into the court. That's the only answer there is. You know, as Benjamin Franklin says, you know, you're either going to be ruled by God, or you're going to be ruled by tyrants. There's no other choice. Every government turns, eventually tyrants find a way to take it over and take control. And that's just the history of mankind. So we need to just bring justice back into the courts, apply the law, and do the best we can from there, and we will survive. And we'll fix all these problems, because 99% of our problems will fix itself once we just start obey the law and make everybody else obey the law. The law will bring order. Law and order.
And our speed. I think they are going faster than our speed, and they are about to declare a new constitution and abolish.
Yes, it's the turtle and the hare. Look at it's the turtle and the hare. And that turtle and hare is a story to let us know how things really work. Evil moves very quickly, okay? And goodness and righteousness and principles move slowly. But at the end, the good always wins. At least that's the way it's supposed to go. You look in the Bible, that's how it works, okay? So, but the bottom line is that all we have to do is the right thing. We're very close. It took them a long time. It took them over 100 years to build the system that they have to take us down. They're pulling the strings. They're trying to take us down right now. But you know what? It takes only a couple of weeks, years, or months or years to take the whole thing down. We've been working at this a couple of years, and now we're executing certain mechanisms within the court through the power of the pen, revealing their sins on paper, which was their big thing. Their big concern is not to have this stuff revealed until they accomplish their goal, and they haven't totally accomplished it yet, and yet we've sounded the alarm to all of the elected officials on the federal level, on every state level, every sheriff, all of the law enforcement, even the United States services. You know, we've got even the armed forces, we've notified them. So they all know. And now they're worried about it because people know. We just sent out letters to the governor and we put it to them. You know, we just read that letter tonight. Okay? Now, and that's not just a letter. It's a mandamus filed in the court. It's an order, contempt of court if they don't respond in a positive fashion. And if they go forward, then an indictment is set for them. They're ready for indictment. Then we'll go through the process and have them arrested. But because they're committing violence against the Constitution. And if they're committing violence against the Constitution, they're committing violence against the people.
Right now, we are in a really important point right now because of the whether the government officials are going to follow our order or their higher authority's order, and they're going to threaten them that if they don't follow their orders, they will basically either die or they will be eliminated.
Well,
so,
yes, of course, but look, at the pressure is on. The people are watching. The sins are revealed. They've been put on record in all 94 courts. Everything we do is recorded in 94 locations, okay, with every federal court. They can only do so much. Everything, their real power and authority is in darkness. We have turned on the lights, okay?
We're stroking up to 30 minutes.
We are looking for them and say, please do...
And I got to tell you something. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people
Let it just finish a final thought. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yeah. So basically, Republic doesn't have much power because the other side is the representative who wants to do whatever they want to do.
Okay. Well, look, representatives can only do what they've been empowered to do. Read Article 1 of the Constitution, and you'll find out what they've been empowered to do as far as the representatives, as legislators are concerned, and even of course the other two. Other two branches of government are also restricted by the Constitution. So all these things that they're doing that you're talking about, they don't have the power, they don't have the authority. They're committing fraud, they're guilty of a crime, they need to go to jail. It's that simple. We just need to take our nation back. And I know the people are willing to forgive anybody who's out there in power and authority that's working with the people to fix the problem. If they're working with us, we'll do our best.
Texas, I have the bill.
But with that, we're going to move on because we have been a long time.
Yeah,
and you get back into the queue.
Okay,
go ahead, Gerard. Hit the next button.
Okay. Didn't move. Cassandra, did you just get unmuted? Are you there?
Let me try hitting the button.
It didn't do anything.
Yeah, let me try. Hang on. Go ahead. There you go. Cassandra.
Yeah,
Cassandra,
this is Michelle
Texas.
From Texas.
Hey, how you doing?
John, I wanted to respond to one of the callers from last week about this secession movement. In the state of Texas, it's the Texas Nationalist Movement. You can find out about them at NRA.com. Not NRA, NLA.com. They have had a petition out to get it on for the people of Texas to vote. We've never been able to accomplish that.
I didn't understand. You're never able to accomplish what?
The secession to vote the ballot.
The ballot for the people of Texas to vote.
Okay, what?
But they are
to secede from the union?
To get that on the ballot to vote.
To vote for what? To secede from the union?
Secession.
Okay.
There is no NLA.com.
Yeah, there is no NLA. If you go to the letters, is a National Lawyers Association or something like that. And I thought it was NLA.com, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's
but,
not.
No. Okay, but look, I wouldn't really push too much for anything like that. I wouldn't really support that. Maybe those people aren't aware what we, the people, are doing across the nation, including Texas. We have a lot of Texans involved with us. And I think once they open their eyes and realize, of course, they wouldn't want to secede from the union. They want to secede from the union because they think that's the solution to deal with this out-of-control government. But even if they were able to accomplish that, and even if it was Texas was left alone while these animals come out and try to destroy the 49, and if they did destroy the 49, and then they'll just go after Texas later anyway. They'll just say, okay, we'll leave them alone for now. We'll get them later. They're kind of stuck there. So that's not the answer. It's not the solution. The solution is taking our nation back, taking our republic back. And we've got the solution here that we're teaching at National Liberty Alliance, and that is to get the courts. Whoever rules the courts rules the nation. And that's the bottom line. If good is ruling the courts, good is going to rule the nation. If evil is ruling the courts, and we do know the courts are evil, evil is going to rule the nation. And that's why they get away with doing what they do in other countries, and they go start wars, and they got these CIA and all these other three-letter alphabet things going on, and they're destroying people and destroying lives, and they're raking people over the coals, and they're taking their homes away, and they're beating them up, and they're getting away with all of this because our courts are corrupt. If our courts were not corrupt, we'd put them all in jail.
That's what happened in Waco.
We'd put them all in jail if our courts were not corrupt. Okay? So that's what we have to do, is bring our courts back under justice. Let's get the king back into the court. Okay? And only the people can step up and do the job. If we do the right thing, God will bless it. It's that really that simple.
What happened in Waco is really sad, that these people are having their rights trampled on right and left, and now they have appointed one of the Waco police to be the foreman on the jury for the trial of the people that were arrested in Waco.
That won't stand. There's nothing we could do at the moment, but when we get in, that won't stand. You know, there's a maxim that we must adhere to. Okay, we don't have a choice. When we move to common law, we get under principles, we get under logic, we get under maxims, and we don't have a choice but to obey them. It's a true law, okay? For every injury, there must be a remedy. So all those people that are being injured by this process that's going on in Waco or any place else, at some point when we, the people, get back in control of the courts, and then we become the king's bench, and we bring justice back in, and those people make a complaint, we have to hear it, and we have to give them justice. So that will all those problems will be fixed over a period of time after we, the people, take back the republic. But it can't be done until we do that.
I agree 100% with what you all are doing, and I'm behind you 100%.
All right. Well, anybody who's thinking of, seceding from the Union, they really should take a look to see what we're doing and take a whole different approach on it. Why give up? Because Texas has given up, and therefore they're giving up the other 49, too. The rest of the 49 are not happy with it either. Let's get together. And let's take back America.
Yeah, what happens when Mexico attacks Texas? Do the other 49 say, well, you're on your own now, Texas?
Right.
No, I think it's a very dangerous thing to do. And that website is TNM.com. I'm sorry.
Oh, TMN. And look,
TNM,
that whole Civil War, one of the biggest things was the right of succession. Now, each state should have their state rights. But as far as somebody succeeding from the Union, that's a drastic step.
It is, and I think it's very dangerous.
Yeah, because you create a vacuum and you don't know what's going to come in there. It's bad. Like I said, Mexico could move in there. The day Texas succeeds from the Union, Mexico could move right in, and you think your federal government's going to help you? They want to move them in now as it is.
Not only that, the parasites are already inside that movement to take control should they be able to succeed at that.
Yes. They got all kinds of gangs, and they got a whole thing going on down there that they're empowering them to take over.
The only solution.
I know exactly what's going on in Texas. It's awful.
The only solution, there's only one, there is none other, and that is to reestablish justice in the courts. That's the only solution. We've looked at this from every angle, the political angle. We looked at the committee man, even trying to beg your people, the servants, to do the right thing. They're not listening. They never will. They won't listen. You have to have a stick, and we have to get out there with a big, fat stick. And we got to let them know, you want to stick your ugly head up here and do evil, we're going to knock it out, okay? And you do that by bringing justice into the court. Justice. That's all. They're going to face justice. And when they realize that they're going
to
face justice, they're going to stop. There'll always be evil. There'll always be someone trying to figure some scheme out, become elected, and figure a scheme, and they'll hide under a rock as they try to do it, but we'll get them. Look, they're going to make a mistake, and we'll get them. But it definitely will not be on the scale of what we have. I mean, the scale of what we have is way out of control. Way out of control. We are RICO on steroids in our courts.
These judges are
just insane. And they're going to pay for it. Look, they sit there and they watch our papers come in. They know something's coming. They know the people have had it. You know, their only hope is for the other side to accomplish their goal, take over, and then put a bullet in their head, because they don't realize those are the first people that go. Once the Iron Fist is closed, all those judges are going to be laying in a hole with a bullet in their head, because that's what evil does. They're going to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, we're rolling up to 10 minutes.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Cassandra.
Okay. Hey, John, we didn't announce about a chaplain, did we?
No, go ahead.
I'm headed to Sugar Land, Texas tomorrow. I'm actually flying out. My name is Irene Louise Minetti, and I'm leaving tomorrow from... I'm from Tampa to Houston and then on to Sugar Land, Texas. And I'm wondering what I should watch for as far as Jade Helm, or maybe should I be really concerned and cancel my trip? I'd like to be able to participate and be productive in helping expose what's going on. So anything you got to the give me for pointers is greatly appreciated.
Well, that's a real tough one about canceling the trip.
Well, you know, I'm going for pleasure, and I got my trip with my frequent flyer miles. So, but I'm just
and
concerned.
You're going from Texas to where?
I'm going from leaving. I live in Mayaca, Florida,
okay.
And I'm flying out of Tampa.
Well, Florida's got a problem down there too. And you know, look, if it's just pleasure, find another place for pleasure. Book Texas next year. You know, that's what I would do. But Florida's got the problem too.
You are
better off going on vacation now.
Go
to New York or something.
I got news for you.
If I go, what can I do as far as Jade Helm goes? Because I apologize. I kind of blew it off. Like, you know, because they do it all the time. They do these exercises. But I've grown increasingly concerned about it. And so I guess what I'm saying, if I go, what can I do? You know, should I videotape? What should I watch for?
Well, look, you should watch for large troop movements or any place that you see any kind of troops, including foreign troops. I just talked with a fellow today that's on one of our bases up here in New York, and I asked him about how many foreign troops does he see. And he said, well, the Canadians come down and they train with us, but, you know, and the Russians come over, and they have been on a fairly regular basis. And they're here for a couple of months and they go back. I believe in order for them to accomplish what they want to do, that they're going to need more foreign troops, because I do not believe that the American troops, once they realize what's going on and they get past the bull crap and they realize that this is an operation against the people, I don't think that they're going to be able to use them. They're going to need foreign troops.
You know what? That's a very good point, because, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes,
yeah, and the other thing is, you know, as far as what they're going to do and what they're looking for, I mean, right now they're gearing up. We haven't really seen any pull of the trigger yet. You know, they supposedly moved this thing up a month from July to June. Well, nothing's happened in June, so here we are in July.
Exactly.
I mean, they can change their plans. Now, from what I understand about Jade Helm, you know, if you're not a major person of influence on them, they're not going to notice you. Per se, they got. Look, this is a computer operational program. The NSA keeps track of every one of us. If they, you know, if you were a person that was leading a group or something, and they would definitely know where you were going. You know, you would be at risk. But you're probably low profile, and therefore you shouldn't get too paranoid. And
well,
I mean,
I'm not exactly. Well, I kind of was getting to the point of being paranoid. But really, my purpose in calling in was to ask, what can ordinary people do to maybe document what's going on, and what should they watch for? And I'm sorry, is this Gary that I'm speaking with?
No, this is Gerard.
Gerard, okay.
Yeah.
And my other question was that I think is really important. I wanted to know why does John Darish, why does he use a fake name when his name is Vidurik or Vidurik?
Because Darash has been his screen name for 30 years. And look at, why did Mark Twain, his name isn't Mark Twain, his name is Samuel Clemens.
That's true. Okay.
All right,
I didn't understand that, and it's something
okay,
that...
Well,
Obama's not his real name either.
Right.
I'm sorry, what's that? Well, you know what? Obama's
not a real name either.
Well, you know what? My name is Irene Louise Minetti, but I go by online Ilu Minetti. And so, you know, people are like, well, what's Ilu? And it's like, well, it's just short, and it's like just my screen name. So, all right, well, listen, I'll probably get on the plane tomorrow. And if I get any good video or see anything, get on the website. So you guys take care.
If you could talk to a military guy, talk to him. You know,
I will do that.
Gather some information and come back and tell us something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. David Whistler, go ahead. You're on.
Thank you. I'm calling from Missouri here, and first of all, I've been trying to find the media on my on your website, and I can't for the life of me find media so I could have followed along with what John was talking about.
Well,
have you taken it off your website, or what happened to it?
When you come in to the main page, the blue bar on the top are the different places. It says media. Right?
No, it doesn't.
Wait
That's
a minute.
The problem. It doesn't say media on it.
I think it's
welcome.
You got to be logged into the site.
You got to be logged in. There's certain information you won't get if you're not logged in. Are you logged into the site? You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that's the problem, but I've never had to log in before to get media up here on the screen.
Yeah, we're locking everything down now. We got to
Okay, well, that's what I asked the question is, if you've changed the way this thing works, then I'm hitting log in right now, and I'm coming up with my account.
I didn't understand what you just said.
I say I'm hit clicking on log in, and I'm coming up with my account.
Okay.
Should that be what I'm coming up with?
Oh, so it sounds like he's logged in.
Well, no, actually, no. He just saved a cookie for it to remember you the next time you logged in. So go ahead and click. Is your password there as well? Does it show the ...
No, it doesn't.
Well, then you better know your password. If you don't know your password, if you don't know your password, call me tomorrow at 248-620.
Hold on, let me get the number.
Hang on.
248-620.
1201.
1201.
Yep.
1201.
Yep.
And I'll
reset
it for you.
All right. Let me just pipe in for a second. I didn't hear all of this, but you're not thinking, Gary, that he's not seeing that line because he's not signed in, are you?
Exactly.
Because I think media is open to anyone, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I just went there, and it wasn't there till I signed in.
Okay, let me take a quick look. You know what? This is one of the tabs we might have left off unless you join. Okay, all right.
Well, I've been a member of this thing for weeks now. It ain't like I just came on.
Well, nothing's changed, but your account, your login may have been cached this entire time,
right.
But then you may have done a reboot recently that deleted your cookie.
Right. A lot of times you go in there and it logs you in, you don't even know it. It remembers you. And then, like Gary says, if you run a cleaner you know, and it takes the cash out and takes out the cookies, then you got to put your password back in. That's why I hate cleaning mine. I got to put all my passwords back in. That's probably what happened to you.
Well, I'm in my account right now. I'm hitting login and nothing's happening.
Well, call me in the morning.
All right.
Thank you. I'll be looking forward to hearing.
That's Gary.
Gary?
Yep.
Gary, yeah.
I got one more question for you. I've been solicited by for some time now by Larry Klayman, who says he has got all kind of citizens, grand juries, and got all kind of indictments against Obama.
Yeah, big deal.
I know, but is he in a common law, or what is he doing with citizen grand jury? Is it
a
different operation than what you're doing?
He's got one foot in the system and one foot out. Look, the guy is doing a good job, and he's doing a good job from the standpoint of who he is and what he knows. He's accepted, and he's doing what he's doing, and he's accepted down there because he's still playing part of the game. He's playing the statutory game. He plays in their court, and so that's his problem. He has not come over to the common law side, no.
Well, is he aware of your side?
Yeah, he is aware. I spoke with him once. He gave me a call. We spoke a little bit, and he wanted to get the names of our members down in Florida, and I didn't give them to him, you know. But we spoke for a short time, and he's doing something different.
He's a lawyer, isn't he, John?
He's a lawyer, yes.
Is what he's doing legitimate, or is he on the opposite side?
He's doing legitimate per se in both in at least the one side, the statutory side, because he's like I said he's playing ball down there, and he's operating, and he's doing things, going after people. They're letting him get away with it. His big thing is going after Obama, but no one's going to enforce that one. And we wouldn't even go after Obama. Why would we? It wouldn't even make sense. We'll deal with that later. You know, not right now.
Well,
so you don't go after the big thing.
He keeps soliciting me, and I was helping, sending him some donations at one time, but now I understand he is jumping all over the place. He's not after Obama anymore. He's after Clinton and whatever. So,
yeah, but he's not going to go anywhere with that. And the cases that he is pushing down in Florida, he's playing ball in the statutory courts. Also, what he's doing ultimately is illegal in the common law anyway. I'm not sure under statutory process. But under common law, it's illegal because he maintains the control not as administrator, but I believe as jury foreman. Okay, I'm not sure on that, but I believe that's how he's operating. You can't be a jury foreman and stay there for years. No jury can remain, no grand jury can maintain itself that long. I mean, yeah, you could run under a grand jury for a year if only to be called back occasionally for the case that you started, that you indicted on. And if the decisions had to be made and the case was drug out that long for a year, which I guess in big, big cases it could be. And if the decision had to be made, clearly the judge has to be kept in check and the grand jury needs to monitor that. They need to do judicial oversight over the judge. And any decision that judge makes, that grand jury should be able to do judicial oversight by reviewing what he has heard and what his decisions were. Other than that, they should not be a grand jury sitting for a year or 2 years or 10 years.
Is there any advantage to having him on our side?
He's too statutory. I spoke with him. He's not interested in what we're doing, at least not back
right.
When I spoke with him.
Okay, well, I'll forget him. I'll just ignore him when he sends me his usual...
We're getting a lot of extra noise, and we're on 15 minutes
now. Is that Gerard? Is that Gerard coming in through like that? Gerard, are you there?
God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Gerard, are you there? Okay, maybe he rebooted because he was coming in like a chipmunk, so I'll take the next question. Laura, No, I'm sorry, Don. VOIP caller. I don't know why it's jumping around like that. Don?
Let me, John, we had the same problem last week that there's really nobody on those lines.
Let me hit that and then come back to try to undo Laura.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
John, I guess I couldn't hear you.
Yes, who is this? Who's talking? Go ahead.
This is Laura, but I can't hear you. I don't know why.
Well, you can hear me now, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I can. Okay. Yes, I have a couple of reports being out in the field, and one, if you want to hear about what happened with our courtroom observer thing for the garage being painted without a permit.
Right, right. We're looking into that case. How did it make any conclusion out there?
Okay, so I want to just give a briefer, an overall briefer of what this is about.
Yeah.
So the head, he's a disabled veteran. He's Pakistani in our military. The FBI tried to recruit him 6 times as an informant because that's what they do. They recruit foreigners and they frame them up into a false flag. And so he refused every time. So in retaliation, he thought he was going on a military mission. He was getting ready to get on a military plane. The next thing he knows, he wakes up in the hospital. His spine is trashed. He's paralyzed, and they can't tell him what happened. So the next thing that happens is he's disabled, so, and he's married to an American woman, and they live in a house in Lacey, Washington, which is near Olympia, our capital. And so we think in retaliation, the city of Lacey has tried to throw them out of their house for these codes that don't even exist. So, and this has been going on for 3 years. So when we went, well, there was 20 of us. 2 weeks before the courtroom observer thing, we all met, 20 of us met, and we actually did a notice of liability to all the people, judges and lawyers involved in this crazy case. And before that, you guys had sent, you know, all your mandamuses and quo warrantos because this is a district court. So they got that. Then before, 2 days before we went to the observer to observe the court case, you guys sent out an email saying, you know, this is what's going on. We need courtroom observers and call the courthouse. This is the number. Ask these questions. So they probably got some of those calls. So we show up. 20 of us show up. We fill in the little courtroom, and we have to listen to a bunch of stupid victimless crime cases that are just pathetic. All these people that are on screen, they're in jail for dumb stuff, and they have to pay a fee, and they used to have a job before they were arrested. I mean, it was just really awful. Anyway, so then it came to the case, and they're representing themselves because what's the point in having a lawyer? So Anne, the wife, explains and shows the proof that there is no form or to fill out for the code they're asking for on their website. They've tried to call the city and even get the permit that doesn't exist, and the city won't get back to them. And instead of having any judge, it was a commissioner and not any judges. And we think that the judges basically just put it on the commissioner because they didn't like all the paperwork and phone calls they were getting. So we think they sort of hung him out to dry. We were all in there filming it, and they listened to, you know, Anne's common sense that this is just crazy. Stop it. And the defense lawyer and the judge were like, well, we're going to draw this out for another 2 months or whatever. On September 24th, I want this evidence, and I want it to be done with. And then we asked him at the end, are you going to be here? And he said, well, I might not. So it might be another judge. But one of the things we noticed in court was that flag did not have any fringe on it. So I asked him at the end, I said, how come your flag doesn't have any fringe on it? And he just looks and goes, I don't know. Some do, some don't. That's it. So anyway, so that's what we did there. Now I have another, my partner Michael and I were at a conference, a five-day conference.
Well, before you go any further, just a little comment on that case. As you know, it's up before the investigative committee, and we are working on habeas corpus for that. We're going to pull them out of the court and shut it down. So, but go ahead.
Good. I thought so. I felt like that. Now,
we're going to have to watch for shenanigans, John, between now and this 2 months.
Uh-huh.
If we don't move on this habeas, they're going to do something slick.
Right. No, we're going to move on it. And, you know, we got about 30 or 40 potential habeas corpuses the last time I heard. I think it was 30. And I think we're going to be able to run through them very quickly. Tomorrow, hopefully, maybe we'll have a meeting of all of the people involved to get moving. And Rick should be back. He's probably back tonight. And we'll pull him in, and we'll get this thing done. I think if we really put, it depends on how much time the people have for writing, but we can probably do all 30 in a couple of weeks and get them out and start getting ready for new cases coming in. And hopefully we'll be training new people so we'll be able to kick them out even faster.
Great. That would be great because this has been going on for years. They even had the city of Lacey had their utilities cut off, all of them, for 9 months. And they went to the utilities and asked them, and they said, well, we're a provider of utilities. This is not our idea. We're being threatened by the city of Lacey to keep your utilities off. And he's disabled.
That's amazing.
This is just crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, these people have one heck of a lawsuit against all these people. And, you know, they're probably unable to be able to deal with it and get a lawyer and that kind of stuff. But look at once we get on to the other side, that's to the side of justice because we're now on the side of injustice. But once we get justice back in the court, get on the other side, then these people will have the opportunity to come and see their local grand jury administrators, and they will see to it that a grand jury hears their case, indictments are applied, and the trial jury will see to it that they are brought to some kind of restitution is made for these people.
Great, that's great. So I did make, Michael and I were at a five-day conference, and we promoted National Liberty Alliance, and we got a lot of recruits. There was a 140 audience. Now, people are from all over the country, not just from Washington State, but we made an awesome connection with, so this guy, his name is Randy Kramer. He is from the secret space program that we have. He's not supposed to exist, but what's happening is disclosure now. The good military in the secret space program wants to tell the public who they are, the technology they have, and what's going on. And Randy has investigative powers and arrest powers. And he took down all our cases. And I would love to hook him up. He definitely wants to be hooked up with us. He's even been taking information about that guy that's been on the forum, the one that in Michigan that he said that the SWAT team's going to come and throw either murder him or whatever. But the militia is coming to help him. But I've been giving Randy all the information I can on that because he can help with that too. But he said the more people that you know he can work with, the more the merrier. And the stuff he told us, I mean, you know, they have those triangular spaceships, you know, because they back engineered all this technology from some crashed ships a long time ago, and they can regrow arms and legs in an hour. I mean, this went on and on and on. I don't want to take up too much time, but it is definitely X-File material.
I need an arm and a leg right away.
Were you kicked off, Gerard?
Yeah, I had problems. I got back in.
Anyway,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just want to say we connected with this guy, but he is, I mean, I could tell you all kinds of stuff that's going to take too much time to tell
right.
you.
right.
what he said. So if you want to have a private call, we could. But
all right. Well, we appreciate all of the information. You know, you've gotten out to those people, and hopefully they will join up with us. And you know, and the people who want to get active, we got a lot to do. We got a lot of work to hand out to people to do, and people can choose on what committees they want to get involved with and get active. You know. So.
Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take the next person. It looks like Don should be the next person. Let's see. No, not. That was Laura that just opened up. Let me click the next one. Okay. Mala, is that it? 778? Go right ahead. Gerard, you got it?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
Marla, like you're unmuted from Colorado. Can you hear it?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear
you
me?
Go. Yeah, you're a little low, but go ahead. Get closer to your mic, maybe.
You've answered my question. What I need to know is, where do I send the documents, the affidavit for the writ of habeas corpus? What is the email address that I send it to?
You will have to get a hold of the person that you spoke and transpire, you know, to get the information to that person. Who did you speak to?
I didn't speak to anybody.
Oh, you have to call. You know, we're going to have to set something up, make it a little more clearer. Gary, let's think about that, how we can make it clearer for where people would go to get the assistance for the to get a habeas corpus. Right now, you'll have to go to the IRT leader, which is the investigative team, research and investigation, and they you'll find them on the directory.
Yeah, on that page of the IRT page, it gives the intake coordinator's name is John Rowe. It has his email address and his phone number on that page.
All right.
But you should talk to him.
Yeah, don't just send papers.
You should
call
talk
him.
To him before you send it. I'm sorry.
Right.
John.
Don't just send papers in. You got to call him.
All right. I will do that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. California Dave, you're open.
Okay, thank you, Gerard. California Dave.
How's it going? What's up?
Okay, all right. Are we far enough along to start issuing writs of execution to the sheriff to bring the common law jury administrators into the courts?
Well, I thought we were going to get together with a sheriff who was kind of softened up to that, and then use that as part of his authority and give him a writ and whatever else he needed to go in. You know, we need to discuss we need to strategize on that. Trouble is, if you give a sheriff who's not schooled up on common law, that's not sympathetic to us, you're going to end up fighting. You know what I mean?
Well, obviously we would focus on a sheriff that's cooperative and understanding and ready to go.
Exactly, yeah. And we have a couple of them that we're talking about that we're going to go ahead and make contact with, including that one that stripped the Forest Service of their arrest rights, because there's a guy that clearly understands the authority of the sheriff. A lot of them don't understand that. Well, he at least knows that much, so we should make some contact with him. And we do have another sheriff over in Utah. We want to check him out. And
because we only need one sheriff to get this ball rolling. It could be Utah, Northern California, Maricopa County, Arpaio. There's probably other sheriffs around the country that people can let you know are ready to go and are just waiting for a writ of execution.
Well, here's what you could do to hurry it along. What you could do is get with whatever sheriff's close to you and inquire if he read our paperwork, if he read it, if he understands it, if he's sympathetic to it. You know what I mean? And if he didn't, make sure you have a copy in your hand to hand them and say, read this and get back to me. What do you think? You know what I mean? And if he's totally off it, that gives you a good clue and say, well, I'll be campaigning to get you out of there.
Okay, you know what I mean? So if we when we get the first sheriff that says he's ready to go, do we issue the writ of execution out of New York, or do we issue it out of the local jurisdiction?
No, I think this is going to be a national thing. I think will be the unified common law grand jury. I think it needs to be that because we need to show in first. Plus,
as soon as we come to you guys and say Sheriff X is ready to go, waiting for the writ, you guys can issue the writ.
Right. Well, look, you have him. We get together and have a meeting with him, with you and him and us.
Yeah.
And we make sure that we're all on the same page, right? And then we'll do it. Because, look, we don't want to just do it because there's, look, this thing, it should hit the media. Of course, they're going to try to keep it out, but it should hit the media. And that sheriff has to be able to say the right things when they stick the microphone under it. And we also want to activate the people that are around him in his state, in his county. They need to be, like, showing up at the court that day. We need to have a show of force. People may want to fly out there just to see him issue that.
Well, yeah, we'd promote it like a rock concert, so we'd have a turn.
Right. That's the best explanation. You promote it like a rock concert because it's that big. So, go out and do it. And, we need to find those sheriffs. And in looking for those sheriffs, if you find out that your sheriff doesn't want anything to do with that, well, guess what? Now run somebody who will run under common law and put them in there.
I'm thinking for the purpose of expediency, if sheriff in one county is uncooperative, find the one or two or three sheriffs somewhere in the United States that are ready to go and make prearrangements, promote it like a rock concert, issue the writ from the national, from New York there, and let's book it and let's tell the media and let's have a big event.
Listen, if we get one and he does it, I'll bet you that cures all the other ones. They're all going to become constitutional overnight.
It's a domino theory. We just need that first one. We don't need 3,000. We just need one.
No, you don't. No, that's right.
Yeah. So anybody who's listening who has a sheriff that they think is ready to go, let's get the word to the national and we'll organize, we'll promote it, we'll tell the media, we'll book it like a rock concert, and we'll have a big turnout.
The reason I'm telling people to go to their sheriffs at the same time, I know we only need one, but the sheriffs have a sheriff's association. They have a state sheriff's association, and they have a national sheriff's association. So the more sheriffs we can get on board, the harder they're going to push. That national association is not on board with any of this. I'm telling you, the guy that's the head of it, they need to get rid of him. I've already spoke to people that have talked to him. So the head
Most of us realize when we get into that first courthouse with that first sheriff, then we can start issuing arrest warrants to all the people in bad behavior, right?
But my point is everybody that gets to another sympathetic sheriff, they will be in communication with each other. They're buddies now. And they're going to reinforce what he did in their county and in the Sheriff's Association, and they're going to fix it. You know, we don't it's better than just having one guy. We don't need 3,000 sheriffs, but no, I'm like the Marines. We need a few good men. Give me 10.
We need one. And once we get one, that one and that jury gets in place.
Yes.
And start issuing arrest warrants.
I'm 100% there.
These guys.
That's right.
And that's going to reverberate like the shot heard around the world, and then we'll be in business.
But you see, by going out and doing this now over the next couple of weeks, that'll make sure all those other sheriffs had that stuff put in their hands, that they read it. When they hear that sheriff issued the writ, they're not going to say, "What the hell is this?" They're going to go, "Oh, well, I got this paperwork, too." You're going to soften them up. You know, you're going to make the landing a little easier. So everybody should become proactive in this. Look, we've been telling, half the time we tell people, don't do anything without asking. We're giving you permission to go out and talk to your sheriff. I mean, everybody's been chomping at the bit. We're moving too slow. Here we are. We just let go of the reins. You know, people, go out and run with it. This is something you can do. And we're not holding you back. All we ask is that you refer them back to us if they're sympathetic and they want to do something. As a matter of fact, if we get lucky, maybe we could get two or three to issue the writ at the same time. I don't know. Maybe I'm a dreamer, but go ahead.
Right now, we as a group probably know of three sheriffs in the U.S. that are real close to saying, okay, come on in, and we can, you know, have a little meeting,
yep,
set it up, issue the warrant, mm-hmm, promote it, put out the publicity thing, and book the event and have a big turnout. And maybe just focus on one sheriff to start with.
Well, that's fine, but you know what? Maybe those other two sheriffs want to fly in there just to show their people that they're on board with
it. Of course, if they want to show up. I mean, if we're lucky enough to have two or three sheriffs in within a 30-day period, they come on down, we'll issue, send me the writ, and we'll book it. Wonderful, but at least let's just, my thought is find the first one and get them on board and bring those administrators into that first county courthouse, so they can start issuing some arrest warrants, and that's going to shake them up.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that, I'm out. Thank you.
I'm turning you loose. I expect to hear from you, like, the day after tomorrow. No, I'm only kidding. Okay.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are on top of this and know of their own little sheriff that's probably ready to go, so I'm sure you'll be hearing from them as well.
Okay, the challenge is out. I'm counting on it. Thank you very much, Dave.
All right, cheers.
Yeah. Have a good night. God bless. Okay. Karen, Pennsylvania Karen, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi. How is everybody?
Good, good.
Good. I spoke with everybody a few weeks ago, and I apologize. I get cut off all the time, and it's probably because I'm one of those people that dimes the cord out continuously. I do have a question in regards to earlier on the call, you touched on the judiciary board and the disciplinary board. I live in Luzerne County in Pennsylvania. We're probably the number one corrupt county. And my custody case is going on 9 years. I think we're on 87 appearances. And there's many judges that have recused, I think like 7 of them, masters, judges, or attorneys and whatnot. I'm sorry if I'm all over the place. But I report every time they do something illegal, like state to me, for example, this is going to cost you $250 to see your child. When I report it with the facts, I only do facts, to the disciplinary board, it's always kicked back, find nothing illegal. Now, I've had meetings with the FBI over the extortion, things like that. Are we going to take a stance in that area? Because we're having judges discipline other judges and attorneys disciplining other attorneys.
The disciplinary board or a board or an overview board ultimately is the administrators for the grand jury. That's what we're setting up. And they, of course, can always go to the grand jury when they have a situation that they think that it has to be brought before the grand jury. But we can't trust in any of the statutory systems that have been set up. It's just not trustworthy. It doesn't work. They're not principled. They have other agendas, or they're mindless to the truth.
Absolutely. And some attorneys that I do know have lost their license for the family court system. 4 of them, actually. So, and then what I was told was, since this one intake individual keeps getting I have a file that's 4 inches thick on the disciplinary board and judiciary board, and they're all legit. I do nothing hearsay. When I called, they had told me that since Susie Ford, dismissed or declined your complaint, it has to go to somebody else. Well, she continuously gets them, and they obviously hate my guts because I call them all the time and report all the illegal actions that are happening. So it's a corrupt board, which we're all in agreement with. But
yeah, they're always corrupt. Look, at here in New York, every time anyone, and I've sent a few of myself over the years, and others have sent to the disciplinary board. Is that what they call it here, Gerard, the disciplinary board? but whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know, judicial.
Or the judicial oversight or something.
Yeah, something
but
like
any
that.
Event, no complaint has ever gone through. And we've had good complaints. We had solid stuff, solid information. And they just, they always come back, no finding. Okay?
Yeah.
That's all they do. You know,
that's all I have, and they're
yes.
solid evidence.
So they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They have no power. They have no authority. They're corrupt, and we wouldn't deal with them. We're gonna. This is people's job, and if anybody has to be disciplined, they're gonna be disciplined by the people, and that's gonna start right off with the administrators for the grand jury in every county. We're gonna develop four in every county, and they're gonna be the people responsible. They're the investigative body for the grand jury. They will go to talk to judges, and they'll let them know, hey, look, you know, you're doing the wrong thing, and we're gonna give you one warning, and we're not gonna give you a second chance. And now go make that case right, and then let's move on. And he's going to obey or disobey. If he disobeys, they're going to take him to the grand jury, and they're going to convince the grand jury, because they'll have good evidence to indict. They're going to indict him and move him from the bench, and send him to the trial jury for the discipline that's necessary, and whatever, maybe some jail time, usually for judges, is good. So that should work out the problem.
I agree, and I went to the now he stepped down because there's too much hot action. But the president judge stepped down and handed it off to another judge. But I went to see him in regards to the guardian ad litem, who didn't have credentials to act as a guardian. Told me I had to pay him $250 to see my children when my ex-husband made an allegation that I had a seizure disorder.
Yeah, we see that all the time, too. And that's another thing. Look at, who are these people? Who are they? You know, we're dealing with that with the CPS now, and dealing with the family courts. We're gonna work to solve this problem.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Yeah. Okay.
Just so you know, we have about 13 minutes.
Okay. You know, in all fairness, I just want to say that in New York, they have removed some judges, and I don't know why they chose to remove those judges. And we have had that federal prosecutor, Parikh Bahar, there that has indicted some real nasty political figures. So I don't know if this is the fallout because they know we're coming. Not necessarily us, but the people are fed up. And maybe they're throwing us bones. And these guys, the guys that they indicted are really, really bad. They're very, very arrogant. And some reason they must have really ticked somebody off because they're facing criminal charges, these people. And there were six or eight judges they've removed in New York over the past 2 years. And I have no idea what those incidences were and why they did them and who they were. But there's something going on. I just wanted to mention that. And I don't think they're going to fix the system. But anyway, next question is New York Sheila. Check, are you unmuted?
Hi.
Your check? Or, oh, yeah, she is. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Gerard. Hi, Jim. I have a question regarding the governor in Ohio. In Cincinnati, there is a Walmart that, has razor wire and, they go through the whole facility and they show you how they are transforming it into a huge prison. I believe it's the whole shopping mall. And they, for it to be an abandoned building, they have cars out there and guards hiding 24/7 protecting it. You know, why would you protect the Walmart if it's abandoned? And so the way it's looking, I have the link to the video. I didn't want to, put it up because of the transition or what have you. But I just thought that we should get a letter possibly or a phone call or something to the governor of Ohio, because it seems to me, this Walmart is one of the FEMA prisons, and they're getting it, up and running.
Well,
there are a lot of cars there.
There's numerous Walmarts that have closed and that they're working on, and they're claiming they all had plumbing problems. How do you have plumbing problems in the Walmarts in various states? I don't know. And I just saw a video where some guy was flying his drone over that Walmart, and somebody broke into the Walmart and ran out, and the cops were looking for him. And the guy had a very nice conversation with these police officers. And they said, no, we were just in there. And he said, well, what about this Jade Helm? And I said, yeah, we heard some stuff about that. He said, they're gutting it. He said, I don't know why they're gutting it. You know, he said, but they're gutting it, and they're taking everything out. So they didn't see any military or anything, you know what I mean? But there are multiple Walmarts that have closed in the past year that they're working inside feverishly, doing what they're doing. I always said when I went by the Walmarts and the Lowe's, and you see that garden center with the big fence, and they always got wire on the top, like somebody's going to crawl over the top and steal a 2x4. You have to be a maniac, right? But I said that's a perfect prison. Look at those walls. The roof is 25 foot off the ground. There's no windows. They got cameras on the building, right? I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that would make a perfect prison. Now, I'm very optimistic that they've counted out how many judges and corrupt officials we have, and they need Walmarts to hold them in. That's the story I'm going with. We're going to put them in there.
Yeah, well, I know I heard that, too, about other Walmarts, but this particular one is in Cincinnati, and I think it's on I-275, and it's really it's protected with razor wire, and it's not facing keeping people out. It's face is the way it's
right,
made, keeping
in,
people
exactly.
in, and
right.
then they show you where in between the two stores there's a grass knoll like a courtyard. And the walls are like 20 feet high on each side and around. And there is a guard there, like they say, and it's other cars. It's like, you know, so I don't know. I'll send the link.
I got a nephew in Ohio. I should send him out there to do a covert operation. Check it out.
Yeah, I believe it's on I-275. I have the link. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, send it to me. I'd be interested. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to move. I got a couple of people. Thank you, Sheila. We'll talk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
North Carolina, Thomas, you have the air. Go ahead. Thomas from North Carolina. Speak now or I'm going to go to Vivian from California. Going once, going twice, I'm going to go to Vivian. Go ahead, Vivian. You're open.
Hi, Gerard. It's Vivian. I would like to just make a point here about John, who repeatedly says we have to take back our country. It sounds like we have lost our country, or our country is under siege, or taken away, or
that's
all of the above. I agree.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree about that. We should say we should take back the reins of our country.
Well, ultimately, of course, we're saying take back the republic, which is taking back the reins and take back America. Look at, we are an occupied nation. We have, how many thousands of foreign troops on American soil? We have no control in our courts. There is no justice at all. All the individuals lose to the corporations every time. You can't win. It doesn't matter how you go into the courts. There is no win for the people. They take away our children. They take away our homes. They take away our liberty. They prevent us from carrying weapons. We have lost. America is lost at the moment. We have to take her back. It's
not
a fight.
As long as we're alive, we're not going
to
let it go.
Well, right now, our nation is controlled by an oligarchy out of Washington, D.C. That's
control, but we still own it, John. We should
absolutely.
Not give up.
I agree with you 100%. We're gonna. How do? What word do you want to use instead of taking it back?
We're going to take back the reins, and
we're going to take back the reins, and that's what we're going to do.
Back the reins.
I agree with you 100%.
Trouble is, is if they're controlling it, they might as well own it. You know what I'm saying? But we got to take the control back.
Yes, take the control back.
Look, we are the government. We're the top dog, not the government. The government is on contract to us through the Constitution. They work for us. They should fear us. We shouldn't fear them. And I know they hate to hear that. I know that that makes them bristle when they hear us talking like that. They don't like to be called public servants because they think that they're a special class of people. You know, and as a matter of fact, they think that they need to do our thinking from us. And they don't think that you should have any money because you don't know how to spend it. You'll spend it on the wrong thing. We'll tell you what to spend it on, including your health care. So it's pretty bad.
But we have to come at them feeling like the boss and not that we have.
Have you read our paperwork? Have you read our paperwork? That's exactly what we do.
We should never lose sight of that, and we have to upright it and take back the reins and the power, but we have not lost it. And they should
just bear in mind, you know, technically, you know, it's hard to even say which way, but here's the bottom line, lawfully, at least what I've always heard since I was a young kid, and I kind of agree with this, possession is 9/10 of the law. And right now, we the people do not possess the controls or the direction of America.
Right.
Someone else has control over America. They've got possession over us. We need to take it back. So, you know, I see both ways, and I agree with your position. It is all about the controls. We do want to take the controls back. But
they fraudulently possess it, but we possess it. We are the real owner of this country. And
I agree.
As you know, thieves. These are thieves.
Yes, they're thieves. And look, when you read our paperwork, it's like mommy and daddy coming home and putting the house back in order. That's the way
we
talk.
Right, exactly. But we still own our home. Somebody is in it, but we own it. And we should never lose sight of that.
Have you ever heard of us say we pray the court? We don't pray the court anything. We tell them you are to do this, this, and that.
Exactly, yeah. That's very beautiful. I love it.
Right, because we don't want them to mistake that who's in control here. And I know they don't like us because of that. I don't think anybody else writes papers like we do. So I'm sure that, you know, we're high on their hate list. But we don't care.
Too many.
Anyway, we appreciate the thought, Vivian, and thank you for that. Yeah. Okay.
We got 2 minutes left, but
Hawaii Paul, let's go. 59.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Paul.
We're winning the battle, but it's a small battle. Stay vigilant. Get your house in order, especially our website. Trust God, and we shall win.
Amen.
Aloha, and that's all I want to say.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Massachusetts Mary, you got like 30 seconds. Go.
Well, actually, a little over a minute, but go ahead.
Okay.
But maybe she's only got 30 seconds.
Hi, John. Hi, Gerard. It's Mary in Massachusetts. Just a real quick question. I tried to get Gary. I'm trying a few weeks now to get on one of these committees, the right one for me. Can I just get Gary's phone again? I know he just gave it to somebody else. I just missed it, a couple of digits.
Okay, Gary, you still here?
He went.
I am. It's 248.
Yep.
620.
Yep.
1201.
Okay, great, Gary, because I tried to email you, and I could have gone into your spam
something.
Right.
Okay,
and the other thing is, the woman that just called in about I had read about that, the Cincinnati, the Walmart.
Yeah.
Anybody that's seen this stuff with Walmart, the Dave Hodges Common Sense Show website, he's asking for people to report that stuff into him because he's publicizing it. He's giving it press.
Right.
And he's all over the talk shows, too. One other question, John, Robert, I sent an email, I don't know if you got it, but on this HR 104 that was passed sometime in the 90s, which would explain the guillotine,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
George H. Bush passed it, and well, actually, it passed really sneaky, just like the Fed Act. And this ex-congressperson who has a website now and has outed this, said he was astonished how they did this, and everybody had gone, and they did it by a, you know, a yay-nay vote for people. And it's the Noahide laws, which they put, rather than, were supposedly now not under God's law, but the Noahide laws, which comes from the Talmud. Okay? And this gives them the right to kill all Goyim and to behead us. Okay? Basically, if you read this document, if you read this H.R. 104, it's really crazy. I sent it to you guys.
I don't get it, though, because I heard that, like, some of those guillotines, like one of them's got George Bush's name on the top, like it's his personal.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, because you know how much I love him.
Anyway, we're
here. He's the guy that really spun my head and got me really into this. I mean, I was awake a little anyway, but I really went after him. But
oh,
no, this law. I don't know how you want to deal with it, but if somebody could give me a call or let me know when you want to talk about this, because if they do call martial law, if we have a collapse and they do call martial law and they suspend the First Amendment, this law is on the books. And they know this is why they put it there.
Don't worry about it, because they got all kinds of other laws they're trying to do. They're going to do whatever they think they can do.
Okay, well, I just wanted to bring it to your... I'm trusting in God that we're going to win, okay? So, but I just wanted to...
That barbed wire is facing in. That's a code violation.
Okay.
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 Night, guys.
Come to the end of the program. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And let's everybody get active. Get a hold of one of the committees and join. Help create the committees and let's get going. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night.
Let's go.